This show is
Really?
not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
Y'all get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall, the state, and across the nation, and it's a sin, the guns, the fiends, the fraud, the messing with me.
Dude, I think I'd drop my pants for him in a heartbeat.
And welcome to DSJMP WrestleCast. I am not Devil Vamp because we just had a pay-per-view yesterday. So obviously Devil Vamp is not here. Not yesterday, but this week. Yeah, whatever. We are at episode 44. I'm going to double check now that we're recording with the official episode fact checker. Katie, is this 44?
Yep.
You heard it there, folks. Episode 44. You're probably already seen it on the download, but anyway. This is where we get the most like-minded people. Last second, Devil Vamp's not here. He is the undertaker of this show. It's his own show, and he just shows up whenever he feels like it. And this is not one of those weeks. But we're going to get into our normal kind of stuff when we talk about what we got what's on, what's later. Keep Toss and Improve, we got to go over TLC, Wayne's Water Cooler Emails, and obviously Best of the Week, kind of a normal show, but a lot going on because with TLC, I was there. So maybe I'll be like Devil Vamp and tell you how it was live and all that kind of stuff. If you want to email the show, you can email at, is it dsjmp.com or dsjmp.com at Gmail?
It's dsjmp.com at gmail.com.
That's so fucking weird. Or you can tweet the show at dsjmp.com. That, I know, has no dot. And like always, we're going to start with Wayne. We have Wayne here.
Yay, well, the devil's away. Wayne can play on back.
Yeah, no.
I don't know why I went all black for some reason, but never mind.
We haven't had an episode that you've both been on for how long? A month?
Well, that's not my fault. I missed 1 week. He's missed about 10. So.
Yeah, I understand.
Slight exaggeration there, but you see my point.
We have Katie, the First Lady.
Hello, Wayne is a pain.
Hi. Oh, very nice.
And we have the Biohazard King.
Yeah, apparently he's trying to make it Wayne tonight.
That's every week.
Make it Wayne in this bitch.
I'll tell you one thing. I love when I have a Wayne day. You know, short. Like we said, no Devil Vamp this week, no DRG this week, but we have a first-timer here on the show for anybody who's listened to the AllWrestling.com Week in Review or the Spanish Announce Table. You will know him as the Mop Jockey or, hell, NFL Easy Picks, Mop Jockey.
Popping that DSJMP cherry tonight. What's up, boys?
And Katie.
Oh, yeah, and Katie.
Where you at, Mop?
Katie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Katie.
That's gone away. You may notice that
they don't do it as much anymore.
Oh, you mean they're not going to wear it into the ground?
Okay. On a side note, that I do want to share how my part of Tweet the Table got cut. There was a point where a Blue Kazoo tweet was read, and T Mac was like, "Blue Kazoo." I'm like, "I will punch you in the ear." And he was like, "Oh, I just wanted to do it."
For those who don't know, Blue Kazoo is my niece, Alyssa.
She's been on the show for any long time listeners. Well, she was kind of on the show. She's Wayne's biggest fan.
Yeah, she's on and on, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, if I remember right, she was announced, and I'm not sure she said anything
she
else
was,
through the
she,
show.
Yeah, she was meow.
Yeah, she did like a little intro one time or another, but she likes to listen and just laugh and listen to Wayne.
Well, he does kind of have a sexy little voice.
Yeah, she likes it.
Sexy little.
Dude, you might be
sexy
blush,
little
guys.
Voice.
And when I say little, I mean
little. Little, very little.
You're awful baritone for a midget.
Wow.
Anyway, let's start with like we always do. Emails! No, I'm kidding. Keep Toss and Improve. Wayne, we'll start with you.
Oh, no, bollocks. Probably more prepared for emails today, but never mind. I'll keep... What was it? There's something on Raw that I actually wanted to do. Paul Heyman, that's the one. Did any of you guys see him on the pre-show? Obviously, Heavy didn't, because he was there. But the
well,
little
well,
Ryback...
And I was like, oh, cool, look, Heyman's down there. I wasn't that far from either.
But he done these awesome Ryback sort of CM Punk digs, and like, what was the first one? They go, so would you like to go up against Ryback? No, because he hurts people. And just went silent. And like, they were like, okay. Tried carrying on. Booker T goes, like, does his waffling thing. And then that was a bit later on. He goes again. He does it again. He goes, Kane will need a chair to get through his body mass because he's so thick. And just left it there again. I just thought, that's absolutely brilliant. It had me in tears. And also on Raw, little bits he was doing. The Jew in Jiu-Jitsu.
That's
the one. Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes!
Yes!
I didn't even manage to get to the email segment this week.
Can you say Missouri Jiu-Jitsu?
Missouri Jiu-Jitsu. Huh? I'd like to think I'll give that a good go.
I think I know the next email I'm going to craft.
I know I'm safe there because you won't get around to doing an email. Ooh.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like a lot of work.
But yeah, Paul Heyman's a keep, so definitely. I know everyone says that whenever he makes an appearance. That's a bit of a cop-out answer, but there we go. Joy's a going first. Tossoring Prue.
This is your first time on the show. This is where we talk about it, motherfucker.
All right, sorry. Can't give me a chance to think about it, thank God.
Wayne, have you ever been on the show before? Like, ever?
No. Not that I can remember, anyway.
Okay, because this is, you know, we you know, you bring up something, then we all get to talk about it and whatnot. That's how everything goes.
You want to do my second shift where I was hosting this, just not let anyone else think about it.
Right, moving on. Katie, what do you think about Paul Heyman?
I love Paul Heyman. He's always good. He comes up with the best one-liners. I mean, the Jew in Jiu-Jitsu, the little dig about Ryback and Punk. He's always amazing. I mean, I liked his interactions on Raw at the beginning with Jericho and Rollins, and then when Lesnar came out. Paul Heyman's always gold whenever he comes out, and I enjoy watching him.
Whenever he goes on the network, do they re-air the pre-show and post-shows? Not re-air, just are they able to re-watch them?
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
good, because I want to rewatch those, because I was, like, in the general direction behind Renee, so that was my favorite part of the post-show.
Behind Renee is a good place to be.
Yeah.
I was just getting distracted. I want to see some of the stuff that Heyman was saying for that. I mean, it's normal him on Raw. It's kind of like your little cop-out answer, Wayne the cop-out. How about you, Biohazard?
Yeah, anytime Paul Heyman gets on a mic, it's gold. I love listening to it. And then even with his interactions with Seth Rollins at the end of the show, where they shook hands and it seemed to tease like a little alliance going on. I thought that was pretty cool.
What about you, Mop?
Well, yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman's good. But the handshake at the end, does anybody think that either he's going to be the new GM or Seth Rollins is going to be a Paul Heyman guy?
I think it's Paul Heyman guy, because...
Yeah,
it seems more likely a Paul Heyman guy.
I mean, seeing how he does look like Punk, kind of.
It's not that. It's Paul Heyman's... This is weird, because everyone sort of goes, oh, he should handle people that can't speak, blah, blah, blah. But when he's done that, they're not gone that well, Curtis Axel, Ryback, all of that. He's
really?
Best, well,
Brock
yeah,
Lesnar.
I
Brock,
know as soon as I said
Brock
he was
Lesnar
there.
Is the exception, T-Mac. I mean, Mop.
But, you know, one of his best ones, other than Brock Lesnar, was already, like, CM Punk, when Brock Lesnar, or you could also argue, or, you know, had already star power when he joined the company, even as a rookie and that. So, Seth Rollins, I think, is going to be a perfect mix, rather than just try and shoehorn him in to make, you know, just because you put Paul Heyman with someone, don't make him a star. And Seth Rollins is an awesome heel and everything. I think that's going to work well. That's going to be, like, more like Punk and the magic they had.
If,
so.
Well, and ultimately, it comes down to if what creative does with those people. If you remember when Curtis Axel was with Paul Heyman, all he did was fucking lose. He lost almost every Raw match. He won pay-per-views to keep his fucking title, but he lost almost every match. With Cesaro, when he come out and talked, he didn't talk about fucking Cesaro. He talked about Brock Lesnar. So whose fault is that those guys weren't good with Heyman?
I think with Paul Heyman, it's best work if the people who are Paul Heyman guys are actual Paul Heyman guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you need people to already either have that association with him or they're elevated to a point where, okay, it's like, okay, it makes sense. So if they actually make Seth Rollins a Paul Heyman guy, I could see it. I could definitely see it. Lesnar, like I was saying, is the exception, but Lesnar was the real first on TV, on camera, Paul Heyman guy. And then it was Punk who basically had that relationship with him that said, I'm a Paul Heyman guy too. But, you know, no one talks about Nathan Jones or Matt Morgan, two other, quote, Paul Heyman guys, but they were the Ryback and Curtis Axel of that era.
There's one more. I forgot. Heidenreich.
Heidenreich. Technically, if you want to get a technical two picture.
Well, I mean, if you go really far back, you got the Dangerous Alliance.
You got those, but...
Yeah, and he was great with those guys.
Everybody from ECW, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know, is that it for Paul Heyman?
Yeah.
What if they're setting it up for if Brock Lesnar does leave and Paul Heyman stays, then that could be the next, like you guys said, that could be the next Paul Heyman guy. Like, that's why they're doing it, to set up in case Lesnar does actually leave after WrestleMania.
Well, they could use the Money in the Bank as an easy bridge to that.
Well, that was kind of what I was wondering with Paul Heyman becoming the GM. Is he going to be the Vince McMahon GM to replace the Authority?
I don't think that's the way they'd go, but I'd love to see it.
Absolutely. It would be great. I don't think they'll do it either, but it'd be kind of cool.
All right, Wayne. What's your next item up for bid?
And that's New Day tossing that stupid finisher, which is just a big ending with a little puppy tap on the back as they go down. Oh, my God, that looks shit. And that just... Oh, and the fact that Kofi Kingston tried selling it as well on commentary. Look, that's it! Midnight whatever! I can't remember it is. Midnight Dawn or whatever he shouted. That was just... Oh, God. What a load of bollocks.
Midnight Hour is called.
There we go.
Yeah, I really got... I got nothing on it.
I want to say Wayne's impression of Kofi Kingston, spot on.
And to be honest, I think you could pretty much toss the whole New Day thing at this point. It's not working. The intro is kind of, it's really weird. I don't know if it's the camera angles where they're each coming out individually and the camera's not there to show. Just the whole thing, it's not working. Nobody gives a shit about, like, super, super nice good guys.
That's why it's building to them going to get pissed and turn on the minute, so...
You say, burr, 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 but how bad
Wait,
does he
did
get
I say?
Shit on? Burr, 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 burr. Because it's not... Duh, 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 it's... Burr, 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 burr.
Tell me that you're called, dude.
Oh, was I supposed to do that?
That's next week.
Yeah, but somebody's putting it together, and give a shit. I just don't care. I just don't care.
Oh my God, Devil's back.
I just don't care. I just don't care. God doesn't exist. I just don't care.
Mop 8 Devil Vamp.
And he was good.
Yeah, I got nothing on the New Day. It was fun seeing them live. I still think this is the new version of Brodus Clay. It's going to be this kind of thing, and then eventually they're going to do some sort of turn, but not on each other, just on the audience, and then it's going to turn darker. Part of me, that's my hopes, and part of me, that's what I think what they will do.
See, it's like with Sin Cara.
Yeah,
nobody likes Sin Cara.
I'm hoping it's some kind of verb. Right now, the biggest thing they've done is that Kofi talks, and he gets excited way too easily, and that Biggie has a sweat problem.
Why was Kofi trying to rap? That was awful. That wasn't even a rap. That was, at best, a poem. At best.
Which leads me to my point of why was he holding his crotch. That was quite awkward.
Because that's what rappers do.
That's what we do.
You're touching over the crotch too much.
And I'm not even sure if Renee Young was in that interview session, because Big E just kind of overshadowed her completely and then golfing her.
He did.
No, I don't know. Right, moving on. Katie, what's your key toss for improve?
My key is NXT Our Evolution show. I thought it was such an awesome show from top to bottom. Kevin Owens' debut was amazing, and at the twist at the end, turning on Sami Zayn and having a feud between them, it's going to be awesome. I love Charlotte and Sasha's match. I thought it was great. Up there with Charlotte and Natty's match. I mean, the main event was all awesome. I have no words. It's just awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be my best of the week. Now it's gone. I'm going to have to think of something else.
Stole another one
to win. You could still use it for your best of the week.
That's the rules. I'm not allowed to.
Or you could use that as your keep because you used a cop out for your keep. Wayne, is this your first time on the show?
Yes, obviously, because tonight I'm doing miserably.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, you would actually think this was Wayne's first time because he doesn't never pay attention.
What?
I didn't get to watch all of NXT. The only thing that I watched what I wanted to watch.
Let me guess, the start and the end.
Yes,
Kevin Owens.
Fucking Owens, and I loved it.
I've got to admit, I did get a little bit moist myself, to be honest. So.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Now you have to go and check out Finn Balor's entrance.
That was amazing.
You can piss on the match. I don't give a shit about Hideo Tommy. But Charlotte and Sasha Banks was I almost want to say it might have been match of the night.
I call him Nintendo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I call him Nintendo. Hideo
who?
Tommy.
That's racist.
Or if anybody caught it last week, whenever a DRG texted me what my picks were, and I finally got around to replying back, I called them Team Indy.
Dude, that was the whole show. What are you talking about? That whole show was just a big Indiegasm, that was. Yo, yes, it was.
There's a lot of people on that show that aren't indie wrestlers. There's only like four or five.
The biggest parts of the show were all indie guys. The main event was all indie guys. There was only two guys in the main event.
Count.
All the stuff afterward was all indie. Hideo Tommy, Finn Balor. I'm trying to think of who opened the show.
Also, the one half of Lucha Dragons was the indie star.
Kevin Owens opened though. He wrestled CJ Parker.
Was that the first match?
Yeah,
because they basically teased it right before the show opened that they were starting with Kevin Owens. So I think there were six indie wrestlers on there. Of Micah.
So,
CJ Parker's hand. Did you any of you see that on Twitter?
Oh, dude. Owen's nose had to be shattered. That thing was busted all up.
Yeah.
Hell of a debut.
So you're talking, what, 2 out of 5 matches were all indie guys?
But how many people?
Well, let's see.
I mean, technically, Sin Cara 2 is indie, but...
Yeah, but Hunico is not really indie, though.
Mexican.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess technically they've all worked somewhere else, I'm sure, except for, Baron Corbin. I don't think Charlotte's ever worked anywhere else.
If I'm correct, I think she just worked off her name. She might have done stuff. I don't know, I have to look that up.
Yeah, I don't. I've never heard of her anywhere else. But then again, there's only like 2 places for women to work.
No, you
could WWE
and TNA. Technically, you can work anywhere, but there is 3 that are mainstays. That are all women. You can still work anywhere.
Shimmer, Shine, and...
WSU.
I don't know that.
What is it? Women... I'd have to look. But I know WSU is another one. Hell, technically, AIW.
Yeah, they do. But see, they only do one show a year
they
of
do
all
two,
women?
2 dates a year, and it's 2 shows per date. So they have technically 4 shows in the year, but they only do them on 2 days. But they still feature women wrestling. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You could technically work anywhere. But, I mean, your big ones where they just profile women wrestling, yeah, it's 3. Right, moving on. Katie.
I just want to say one quick thing. Ziggler and Rollins just had a great match on SmackDown, and Ziggler won.
Of course.
So, just putting that out there. Okay, I guess... Well, my toss was the New Day as well, but I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't have any other improve or anything like that. TLC was okay, and I enjoyed NXT more, and Raw, the main event, I enjoyed, so that's pretty much all I have.
Yeah, Charlotte had no background whatsoever. She literally, her career started in 2012 in NXT.
Yeah, I think you see a lot of that with the WWE girls.
You see that with a lot of their roster, really. They'll pick people out that aren't just wrestlers. They'll be like, you have...
Oh,
like,
Well, Baron Corbin,
Dolph
yeah.
Ziggler.
Don't get me started on Baron Corbin.
Huh?
Don't get me started on Baron Corbin.
Oh, I love Baron Corbin.
I don't say it.
Like I was saying, Dolph Ziggler. Because they do look for people with athletic background.
Well, that is Dolph Ziggler to a T. Yeah.
They signed him out of college. Not fresh. I don't think it was fresh out of college.
Yeah.
He was out of college. Mm-hmm. Kent State University, which anybody catch that on the back of his hoodie? Nope, I did.
No, but I saw the brown stain on the back of his tights.
Did you see it was the Money Manziel logo? Where it's the elf doing the money sign?
I saw the brown stain on the back of the pants. That's all I saw.
Just because Just because you got revenge doesn't mean we can't forget that the same thing happened on primetime when more people were probably watching.
And the same performance out of both quarterbacks, both times.
No, didn't Andy Dalton score? Caddy, we're just doing this to piss you off.
Absolutely.
All right, and we'll get into our picks for the week. Oh, nope, wrong show. Biohazard, keep tossing proof.
I want to keep the snap on Bray Wyatt's Sister Abigail finisher, mainly because when he did the theatrics, yeah, it was cool and everything, but when he put the snap, when he just went in for it against Ambrose at TLC, it looked like it had more meaning, more impact than doing the little theatrics in the beginning.
Yeah, the theatrics is a WWE thing. They do it with all their finishers.
Unfortunately, but it made it seem more impactful, and I absolutely loved that.
When it's done right, that Sister Abigail can look awesome, like the running one he done to Rey Mysterio, and that he can really nail them sometimes, and they look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Sister Abigail out of nowhere.
Exactly.
What is your toss?
I don't really have anything to toss this week, other than having NXT have a show that was way better than a pay-per-view. It kind of shit on a lot of the main roster, just the creative behind a lot of it, because you saw NXT, amazing show. They should have stepped up their game in the ring, and most of them didn't. You had two good matches on TLC.
Wayne, do you have something in your water cooler about this?
I was like, if you don't, I will. No, if it's the certain protest one, then yeah, I've got that.
We'll get to that one later then. But I think that could be a key factor, and that's it's a bad thing for the on-screen product. But at the same time, if you have people that are on the main roster that want Triple H to be in power, I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, for everything that we hear bad about Triple H, from what I'm seeing, if he is in total control of NXT, creatively, I think it's going to be put in a whole new direction once Vince dies.
Or fine.
That's gonna take him to die as well to get full control.
Oh, it really will, because he ain't going nowhere.
He'll literally have input to the day.
I think if he has a big enough health scare, which I don't think we're that far away from. After seeing him on that Stone Cold interview, or just seeing him at the plate, I should say, he...
Are you sure that, like, if he gets, like, ill and has a serious health scare, that he won't even get worse and bury himself in his work to shut it off?
At the same, well, depending on what the health scare is, if it's something where they're, like, you can almost see him kind of having, like, a heart issue. Not for, obviously, being overweight, but, like, maybe any type of past drug issues, or maybe his working out at...
Steroids.
As much as he has done, like, that could end up, like, really affecting him, where they're kind of be like, you need to take it easy. We're not going to recommend you go on the road anymore. We're not going to recommend you be involved in the business anymore.
I'm not going to stop, damn it.
Well, that, and hey, he is 70. He is 70-something.
Yeah.
He is not young at all.
On a side note, Lillian is 49? Yes.
Really?
No.
That's a MILF for sure.
I was going to say, I pointed that out on group me earlier and had a little...
Yeah, that's where I was getting it from.
That means she's the same age as The Undertaker.
Oh, I know which one's age, man.
Oh, speaking of looking bad, did you guys see the picture of Undertaker at the airport?
Yep.
Ooh. Yeah. Ow.
Obviously, Lillian, that's like a fine wine. Undertaker ages like milk.
Undertaker's like fine eggnog.
I was going to say, his hair is pretty much white now as well.
Yeah, if that's how he looks now, I don't think I want him back for WrestleMania. I don't want to see that Undertaker climbing into the ring.
Yeah,
they've done that before, though.
There's pictures that come out like, oh my god, look at him. And then, like, he comes back out and he looks normal. Like, he's re-dyed his hair. He works out, I don't know.
Spray tan and hair dye works wonderfully.
I know, but he looked thin and frail in that picture.
I was going to say, every year that pulled up and hair dye is going to need more and more every year to the point that he won't be able to match it.
Right, moving on.
There we go. Just blew everyone's mind.
We'll go to an all-white outfit.
All right, Mop, keep tossing and improve.
First, I want to keep the effort from all of the wrestlers over the two events. Every wrestler they were all busted their ass.
Ziggler and Harper, for me, have to be the two that put the most in. My God.
Oh,
the beating they took.
Ambrose and Bray beat the fuck out of each other.
I mean,
best they could, Show and Rowan did.
I have to give kudos to Luke Harper for aiming low with the ladder on Dolph Ziggler. He was going for his body, not his head. I noticed that. I just kept going, aim low! Aim low!
Except for the one spot that got him on the nose.
I'd rather his nose than his skull.
In fact, he carried on with a possibly broken arm as well when he went that rung spot where he had his arm trapped in the thingy on the suicide dive and then landed on the floor. Oh.
Yeah, that looked
brutal.
Bad.
Yeah, it looked really bad.
Also, Zayn Neville done a shift as well in the ring. Some good spots in that.
What the hell was that fucking jump up onto his fucking shoulders into the fucking, oh god, what's he call that? The powerbomb looking thing. Remember that spot?
Yeah.
The one I'm thinking of is like, he done the reverse like Frankenstein thing on his stuff. That was when he basically...
Yeah,
done the backward swing and Zayn landed on his neck. That for me made me cringe.
Ooh,
as well.
No. I was thinking of the one where he did, it was like a back somersault, but he landed where he was sitting like electric chair style up on Zayn's shoulders. And then Zayn turned him around into that, God, what is that pile driver looking, or not, but a power slam looking.
It's like a sit down power bomb kind of thing.
Yeah. Dude,
it looked beautiful, but it didn't make sense at all.
It didn't make any fucking sense, but athletically, how the fuck do you do that?
It was crazy.
All right, what is your tosser and proof?
Basically, anything creative, announcers, Vince, all of it. The announce booth sat there through the whole TLC pay-per-view. They're beating the fuck out of each other with instruments, and they laughed about it and giggled about it and made fucking jokes about it. You know what? Fuck it. Put all three of them motherfuckers in there and let them get the beat the fuck out of and see if they want to be laughed at.
In all fairness, Ma, you had the opportunity to come to Cleveland and watch this pay-per-view without commentary.
Yes, but you know why I couldn't.
Just saying.
And I wanted to, and you know I had originally planned on doing it.
That would have been such an epic day, too. Mm-hmm. But then again, I didn't get to actually in Cleveland until around 5 o'clock. Like, I was catching the traffic leaving the game. I mean, I was passing them, I should say.
I was gonna say that's awful late. I figured they left at what, halftime?
Hey, shut up, Jeremy Hill.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing on that.
It's the bickering that bothers me. It's like they're fighting each other on commentary and not paying attention to what's going on in the ring.
Right, and the only time they stop fighting is to promote the next match. It's like, fuck you, motherfuckers.
Like, if they did, like, what they do on NXT, where, yeah, there's a little bit of bickering there, but they're explaining the match and telling the story along with the guys in the ring, then it would make sense. But they're fighting about who gives a shit.
JBL was a lot funnier when Jerry the King Lawler and the Bell. It's like, the three of them together is just horrendous. JBL comes out with one or two decent zingers when it's just, like, a two-man booth.
Yeah, but you're talking one or two zingers over a three fucking hour span.
Yeah.
I don't.
There's definitely more crap to go through than last, definitely.
And
the dated references get on my tit as well. The fact that they get, like, such obscure, stupid old references, and then you get Michael Cole for ages going, oh, and you got some more relevant, JBL. And I just thought, you've done this, like, every week for the last year.
The thing, though, what kind of sucks is we are stuck in an era for Raw that they're going to keep this three-man booth until one of them leaves the company.
Jerry.
I was going to say, Jerry at this point isn't even commentating. He sits there and then does ads for Pepsi.
Or Mountain Dew.
Yeah, Pepsi products.
Snickers.
If it pays the bills.
Or steak.
Sonic.
And can I bitch about that table
match?
You
just don't like Lawler because he's a Browns fan.
Oh, is he a Browns
fan? Yeah, him, Dolph, and Miz were actually at the game on Sunday.
I heard that King was there, too. Yeah. I heard that the three of them were there, but I figured Lawler was just a football fan.
No, King in general is a Cleveland fan. I don't know why, because he's from Memphis, but I know he's a Browns fan and he's an Indians fan. I think he's a really big Indians fan. That's, like, one of his... Like, I've heard about his house. He has, like, different collections and stuff. Like, I think he has, like, a big Elvis collection. He might have a big, was it Coke collection? Coke memorabilia. And then I know he has a big collection of, like, Indian stuff.
Oh, I'm sure he has a big
Yeah, that's why I had to say memorabilia.
I was just going to say that.
Don't worry, I caught it, motherfuckers.
I mean, it is Memphis. Memphis, I mean, let's face it, Memphis sucks.
Yeah, Memphis ain't that bad. Memphis has only one place that I want to go, and I pass the area a couple times a month, and that's,
Graceland?
Well, it's kind of like when I go to Nashville, the only thing that I like in Nashville is I want to go to the Johnny Cash Museum.
And I guess Memphis has some good barbecue, but...
Well, you can find good barbecue anywhere.
No... No, you cannot, sir.
No.
Well, what I mean is, like, there's so many areas of, quote, great barbecue. Texas has its own barbecue. Kansas City has its own barbecue. Carolina has its own barbecue. Memphis and the Tennessee area has its own barbecue. See, it's fucking everywhere. Right, moving on.
Can I shit on something else, too, real quick?
No. The fucking no, 2 minutes. Table. 2 minutes.
Okay, DRG.
Technically, it's double.
Oh, is that... I almost heard,
the story for those who aren't actually on the show is Devil Vamp told Wayne and DRG to wrap up the Bound for Glory segment, but he did it through the chat in Skype. So he said, like, you know, 2 minutes. And that's where it comes from.
So they were actually... They were actually able to talk about Bound for Glory for 2 minutes?
Notice how much TNA talk has been on the show for the past couple months.
Well, there hasn't been anything new.
Nothing in TNA is new. Oh!
they got a new logo.
Oh, that logo. That should be.
And Spike bumped back the time frame for the next two shows to midnight.
Horribly. Yeah, horribly bumped them back. And there is some good news for TNA. They are getting another show and... You know, anyway, TNA's over.
Don't let DRG hear you say that.
two minutes is up, goddammit. Let's move. But the tables match. Everything up until the double table spot was fine. I thought it was actually pretty entertaining. I got the double table spot. Why in the fuck did Big Show come out? And why in the fuck did Roman Reigns come out? Because I wanted
to mark the fuck out.
For who?
Reigns. As soon as that hit, I was like, oh my god. And what sucked is I was literally on the exact opposite side of the arena, on the aisle from where Reigns would have came out. So if I was like literally switch sides, or for example, if the hard camera would have been on the opposite side, I would have been right by him. I'd be like, oh my god!
And you reached out and grabbed him and got punched in the face.
No, that's not CM Punk.
Big Show came out because he's aligned with Seth Rollins and the Authority, and then...
But the Authority's no more, and there hasn't really been that alliance since Survivor Series.
But it's...
That group...
On the screen, Survivor Series, even,
yeah.
I just... It's dumb. They're not going to lead to a program with Big Show, because Cena has to have a program with Brock. And isn't Reigns...
Why not?
You could. I think they're going to try to go Reigns Big Show to make Reigns look strong again.
But he's at the Rumble, which is the next pay-per-view. Reigns has already announced that he's in the Rumble.
But they've been in matches before and in the Rumble, too. Or they could do it at Fastlane.
I think that's going to be Reigns and Big Show on a Raw just before the Raw Rumble.
Do you think that's the program going up?
Yeah.
And
the last of the Rumble as well. Mm-hmm.
That's possible. What is Reigns' slogan other than believe?
No, believe that.
Whatever. It's one against all.
His slogan is if you liked what he did in the Rumble this year, wait till this year.
Okay. But a guy that professes to be him against everyone, why is he coming out to help Cena?
I think it's not...
Because he doesn't like Rollins, mutual enemy.
But he didn't go after Rollins. He went after Big Show.
That's true. But he also is Superman Rollins as well.
It's just goofy.
He wanted to come out and make it rain on this bitch.
Make it wane on this bitch.
There's no such thing as... One against all in WWE.
No,
especially
really
Teddy
isn't.
Long as manager.
Holla, holla.
And can they please stop scripting him so much? It comes across as him reading a script when he's cutting promos. When he just talks, he's got that I'm cooler than you, I'm better than you tone.
Hey, baby girl.
Exactly. When he gets these fucking scripts they want him to read on TV, it comes across as just that, scripted.
At the same time, though, you got to realize... Is the WWE making him go scripted, or which could be possible, or is he a guy that when he gets to those opportunities, he might seize up? Because it almost seemed like at TLC when he got that promo backstage, there was something there. Like he stumbled on shit, And he couldn't get the lines right, or he was having like some sort of like nerve problem.
Well, it could have been, but now you listen to him on the 2K panels when he's just talking and answering crowd questions. Mm-hmm. Dude, he's a smooth motherfucker. Dude, yeah, I think I'd drop my pants for him in a heartbeat.
That is a horrible thought.
And he was good on Raw last night when he just talked for a little bit and just said, Big Show, if you come in this ring, I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
Right. He said one line. Right. One line is all he needs to say, ever. They do, mm-hmm. He does not need to drop a fucking 10-minute, you know, promo. Some guys just don't need to be cutting long promos.
Believe that.
Exactly.
All right. Time for me. Key toss or improve. I had a couple, but you talked, and I think it really fucked one of them up.
Right, moving on.
Going to the pay-per-view, I mean, I had a lot of, like, highlights and moments and keeps, and Kevin Owens, that's obviously, you know, that's not a keep. Shit. I really can't fucking remember what one of them was. I thought of it, but you kept fucking talking, you motherfucking mop, bitch.
Yeah. Show killing.
Ralph Jr. H. Walker Jr.
Should I call in and say that I just had a kid? Maybe the only part of my, the only thing of consequence to say in my call. I got more bitches if you really want me to.
For shits and giggles, shoot off one. I'm trying to remember what, because I had a good one too, and I don't want to go. I don't want to go with one of my best of the weeks.
The goddamn crowds for the last two fucking rolls. If you want another motherfucking promo, I'm gonna find every one of you and shove fucking bleach down your goddamn.
Calm down,
Kata. Fucking
calm down,
Kata. You fucking what Bray Wyatt and you what Paul Heyman. Fuck you, what? Motherfuckers.
What?
You can what me. I'm not that damn good. And in the middle of the fucking, I think it was the New Day match on Raw, they start chanting JBL, Cole, and Lawler. Fuck you, idiotic motherfuckers.
What did everybody think of Chance during TLC? Because I've heard I heard people bitch, like, post show about it, but, like, I was like, I don't remember that chant. Like, if you heard it because people close to the floor and close to the cameras were chanting it, but it didn't, it in no way caught on.
I can't say I remember Chance from TLC.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't remember Chance, but I just know that they popped at the right times. They cheered and stuff at the right times.
There was a couple of This Is Awesomes and stuff that was good, but I don't remember any.
The right ones and...
Yeah, I don't remember any, like, out of line Chance. I don't even remember a CM Punk chant.
No, there wasn't. I think there might have been some people that tried it during
during the AJ match. You could hear it was, like, it, briefly, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It was a Punk chant last night during the New Day match in Goldust and Stardust.
People started...
Was that what it was?
I don't know if anybody's ever gone to a live show and waited in line, or waited in really not really a line, waiting kind of like a group. Until they actually open the doors officially. And every time I've done one, there's always people that try to start chants. Just, you know, to help pass the time. And someone actually tried to start the CM Punk chant, and I immediately started a no chant. Which I've never thought about that before, but as soon as it happened, he started chanting CM Punk. I was like, no, 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 no. The only chant that I hate more than CM Punk is actually ECW, because when people chant ECW, I say, give it up, ECW is dead, it's gone, and the reason why you're chanting ECW is because you think something's cool, or you think something's awesome, or something's extreme. Don't chant ECW. Chant something else.
That's a bit of a long chant to do back.
I said chant something else.
At least the NXT crowd's finally getting it. They're chanting NXT instead of ECW. So.
You're supposed to chant NXT, or...
Yeah, WWE is kind of a tough chant to try to start.
Oh, yeah, well, you don't chant WWE, you chant something else. Normally, it's people wanting to, if something's, like, extreme or cool, you know, they chant ECW. But what they're doing is actually just mocking what they saw on TV. When something cool happened to ECW, they were chanting ECW because, you know, they were happy for that promotion. Obviously, WWE...
What about the use of it on Raw, then, when Paul Heyman egged it on?
I don't... Well...
God forbid the show should never be that bad to where you get a TNA chant.
But he actually...
We were waiting for the doors to open, and people were getting kind of pissed. And I was just like, if you want to get him a good one, start chanting UFC or TNA. That'll get their attention.
I think there was a post Mania Raw where they were chanting TNA.
Ooh.
Yeah, normally that's...
Ouch.
That's the probably best way to say, like, this is boring. They don't chant random chants. Just chant TNA.
I'm excited for their relaunch in January. I don't know about anybody else.
Or if it's really boring, don't chant anything. Turn your fucking back to the camera and say, fuck you.
I do that
like Jack Raw. Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, they used to do that to Bo Dallas. It was fucking hilarious. The front row of NXT, they would all get up, grab a newspaper, sit down, fucking sit there and read the newspaper during his matches. It was fantastic.
We chant Bo leave.
You see, my keep... I still didn't fucking think of it. I'm going to go back and listen to this, and I'm going to remember what it was. And I'm going to be so pissed off.
You say your keep was being a TLC?
No, because that's more of my best of the week.
Well, no, what's going to happen is you're going to go on to the next segment and then remember what your keep was.
You can keep...
What about your keep being Dean Ambrose as an electrician?
Ah, Dean Ambrose. I figured that would be someone's toss. The ending of that match.
That wasn't the most egregious finish of the fucking pay-per-view, though.
I might have to say my keep was Roman Reigns coming back. I love that. Because that was one of those things being there. Like, I knew something was going to happen. Especially in Big Show came. I'm like, all right, who is it going to be? And then when Roman Reigns' music came, I'm like, that's pretty awesome. I know people were saying, like, oh, they should keep him off till Rumble. Not every return has to be like that. And I heard a rumor that they are planning a big return for number 30, and they might do Batista.
That or Orton.
And he's going to win and get booed like a motherfucker. It'd be fantastic.
That's the one reason.
Do Rey Mysterio.
No, that's why they want to do Batista. They want to have him come out in 30 and reproduce what they had with Rey Mysterio at 30. But I think if they were to do it, they need to start off with Daniel Bryan's music.
How funny would it be if it was Rey Mysterio returning at number 30? Because you know he's back with the company again.
Yeah, isn't it just to finish up the dates that he missed or something like that?
No, no. He actually re-signed with them and is working for them again.
They won't let him go.
All he does now is a bloody 619. That's all he does. Everyone results in people.
I remember my keep, motherfuckers. Right. I'm going to do my real keep. My real keep. I finally remembered it. It's something that I don't know why I looked over. Rusev and Ryback. Oh, yes!
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, yeah, goddamn you, heavy.
My current mission is to find the Spanish announce table episode. I know what episode it is, because I know when I sent the tweet. But to find the exact clip of them shitting on it and go, yep, motherfuckers, I was right, you wrong, fuck you.
Well, didn't, like, 2 weeks later they change their mind and we're all behind it again?
You know what? You were right. They did do that, because I actually called T-Mac out on it. Because at first they shit on it, and then T-Mac was like, oh, I like it. And I was like, what? You don't like my booking, but you like that particular one now? Fuck you. I marked out over that. Ah, that was... I wish that would have happened at the pay-per-view, but obviously they were in separate matches. And when it comes to Rusev, I've called a lot of this shit. I just know kind of where they're going. I love it. Rusev is still one of my favorite aspects. And if there's anybody in WWE right now, Ryback's probably the one that could beat him. I don't know who else they would do it unless they do fucking Reigns, but I don't think they're going to do that on his way to the title.
There's also Cena.
Cena is the cop out. Cena is if they want to they want to Ryback him. If they want to completely drop him.
Cena's also the safe pick, which is probably the fucking one they're going to go with.
No, because if the way they're building Rusev, it's going to be a big thing when he loses. But if they want to completely drop him afterwards, like they're going to stop pushing him, that's when they'll have Cena beat him, and then he'll end up getting buried. But the way things have gone with Rusev this year, I don't see that happening.
I could see them putting the U.S. title on Ryback or the European title. If you saw that tweet that was deleted,
I wonder what that's about.
It could be
because supposedly, a lot of people were rumored that it was going to debut on Raw, and it didn't debut on Raw.
I think they were just fucking with people.
It could have been too.
Now, in your opinion, is Rusev's build as good as the Shield's build when they first came in?
That's tough. I think the thing, like, Rusev is the first anti-American angle they've had in a long time that's worked. Or at least worked what I feel like is just worked the best, I should say.
Well, yeah, he's actually getting the USA chance. Most don't.
Yeah, or my favorite thing, I say favorite very loosely, it was a SmackDown before WrestleMania 28. Where Alberto Del Rio and Edge fought. And oh, was it 27? Okay, I thought it was one of the two. Thank you, fact checker. They did the contract signing in Cleveland, and I was there. And these fucking fans started chanting USA. Edge, a Canadian. Alberto Del Rio, a Mexican. Why are you chanting USA, motherfuckers?
Because Canada's nothing but USA North.
Like a lot of good party.
Eh.
Anybody guess on Rusev and Ryback?
Yeah, I'm excited. I expected them to fight a little earlier, I think, because, well, I think they were going to plan on doing Sheamus, but Sheamus got injured, so then they put Ryback with them, and Swagger was just a filler type thing, so I think it might be good.
I still think it would have been better if they did it when for a return for Ryback. Like, imagine we hadn't seen Ryback for the last month, and then all of a sudden we did the exact same thing we've seen on Raw. Oh, you know, I got one person who wants to fight you, and then Ryback at the bet. Like, that would have been amazing. But I'll live with what we got now. It's fine.
As Royal Rumble's a major one, then, can you see Ryback going over?
I got a feeling that's going to last till Mania.
Yeah, I feel like he's not going to win the title till Mania if he does.
I wouldn't be surprised if at Rumble, Ryback is about to beat him, about to pin him. Like, he gets shell-shot, pin him, and then Lana costs the match.
Now, she hasn't interfered in a match yet. Do you think they'll do that now?
He hasn't about lost a match.
He's lost matches before, though.
Not a singles match.
Not singles.
Yes, he's been counted out. That's a loss.
He hasn't been...
He hasn't been pinned.
Which is the real... kind of it. So it's going to be, she's afraid that the loss is going to happen, and then pull my...
I mean, don't get me wrong, anything Lana gets involved in, I'm all for.
I got some things for her to get involved in.
Especially with how tight them clothes are, you never know when there'll be a wardrobe malfunction.
Right, moving on. Let me see my toss. I don't know if...
Lana?
Nice.
See, I was going to say tossing his pants to Ziggler.
Oh, that was just amazing. Did you hear that pop? His initial pop, and then when they announced him from Cleveland, oh, it was amazing. I was so happy he won that match. That was my match of the night.
That was pretty much the match of the night for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
I would like to improve Ziggler in the company. I would like to see Ziggler higher up.
He's in a pretty good spot right now.
I mean, he is. I mean, granted, I had mentioned in an email to the Spanish Announcer a while ago, right after Survivor Series, saying, you know, he's on his way up, and one of them was like, well, you know, it's only, really, you're only talking about one night, like how it was at Survivor Series. And I feel, I don't know if anybody gets this feeling or can come with a better analogy, is minus the injuries, Dolph Ziggler is like the Edge of the company now. As in, he has to do rung by rung now. It's kind of like they're doing it because of his health. It's kind of like, all right, we'll give you a little bit. We'll see how you do. All right, you did really good. You're keeping health up. All right, we'll give you a little bit more. We'll see how you do. And I just...
Well, yeah,
I mean, I would love to see him as champion. I don't know how like what.
You have to wait till Lesnar's gone before that.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be a while.
I'm not expecting anything. Nah. Especially because it looks like Reigns is gonna win at Mania, which is fine. Rollins is gonna cash in, like I predicted, the night after, which is fine. They'll probably have a feud for a while. But at some point, Dolph has to wiggle himself in there. He has to ziggle wiggle himself in there.
I could very easily see him getting Money in the Bank this next time around.
I was actually just thinking that, too.
Yeah, because there's no place for him right... Honestly, he's as high as he can get right now because of the way the pictures is at the main event level. Mm-hmm. But he is fighting for essentially the only title that's being defended on every show.
Yeah, that's kind of like, it's pretty much the WWE title for the last few months.
Absolutely.
On a side note, I'm going to ask everybody this. What is your favorite cash-in of all time? Mine is Dolph Ziggler. I've used the analogy before. When he cashed in, it was like the Browns won the Super Bowl. Yes, Mop, I know the Browns have never won the Super Bowl, but that's how I'd feel if they actually did.
I actually agree with you, so... No, I think Dolph's is my favorite so far.
I think pop-wise, Dolph's was great, but then you have the Edge one against Taker, which was one of my favorites, because that pretty much cemented him as the ultimate opportunist.
Well, then again, you also have the Daniel Bryan cashing in on
Big Show.
Big Show. After Mark Henry loses the match, gets up, and destroys... Yeah, that part was fucked up.
I love the celebration of that, where he's just running down the ring barriers and stuff, just yes and everything. I Mine probably be Ziggler, but I'm going to just add something different. Even Orton's from last year, when the false fireworks and the finish to the show, because they really dragged it out, and everyone's like, oh, this is going to be cashed in tonight. And then it actually got you to the point of, oh, fair enough, they're not doing it. Then it hit, and I was just like, I thought that was quite good. Not as good as the false finish from NXT this week, but...
Yeah, the Triple H just kind of all of a sudden turning on him, yeah, that was pretty epic, too.
Yeah, I like Ziggler. I think that's the best reaction-wise. I like Edge's first cash-in on Cena after the Elimination Chamber match. And Punk's was good, too, the first time
he
cashed
in. I knew it. I knew you were going to say it.
See, I was going to go there.
Which, actually, I do think...
I like the
Punk one, too. Punk would be my second one, because I was the only person that didn't see that coming. I have friends that were like, oh, yeah, you know, they made so much sense to me. But I was like, I completely, like, had the Money in the Bank out of my mind. So when Punk came out to cash in, I was like, oh, my God, that makes sense. This is awesome.
And even when he did it on Jeff Hardy, one was good, too.
That one was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I liked the one he cashed in. It was on Edge, right? Where
Batista,
yeah,
the first one.
Yeah, because it was the first time a face had done the exact same thing that the heels were doing at the time.
And I think my third favorite is Rob Van Dam. Granite.
Or he waited till one night to do it.
No, I would say he's the only one. Him and Cena are the only two that have said, all right, we're going to go at this date.
I was just going to give props to Cena for doing that and still losing to it, to Punk. I was going to give props to Cena for that one.
Does anybody want to put Sandow down for one?
No.
Oh, so feel bad for Sandow on that one, but... I was just curious what people say of best cash, and mine, like I've said, is Dolph. Right, it's because I'm a big Dolph fan, but I had almost predicted that months out. I was actually saying for many months it would be at WrestleMania, and then when it didn't happen, and then I happened to be just one day off, I mean, that's pretty damn good in my book.
Yeah,
I think
just,
Rollins should do it at Mania.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do too. I agree with that. I think at Mania, after Reigns get the hell beat out of him and beats Brock, I think that would be fitting.
Mm-hmm. It's never been done before.
Yeah, no.
And it's really surprising too.
Well, the events were at Mania before, so it was like they expired that night. Unless you said I'm cashing in at WrestleMania and did it beforehand, the contract expired that night.
Yeah, but they had the match earlier in the night before the title match, and they could have cashed in the same night. So it just surprises me that they held off.
Well,
you know, they actually had restraint for something.
Well, they were supposed to do it with Aunt Kennedy.
How'd that work out for them?
That's why how Edge cashed in, because was that... One of the many reasons he got either injured or... that wasn't Signature Pharmacy. Signature Pharmacy was why he wasn't named Vince's son. It was some other reason.
It was something like with Randy Orton. He said Orton said he injured him in the match, or he hurt him in the match or something, and Orton complained.
I thought that's why he got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the reason.
He had such a problematic tenure in WWE, but one of them was whatever happened where he was Money in the Bank winner. I think he probably just failed a drug test. I think that might have been what it was. Failed a piss test, and I was like, all right, you're Money in the Bank winner, now we have to get rid of it. And within a week, he lost it on Raw to Edge, and Edge cashed in on SmackDown on Undertaker.
See, now, I thought that's the route, Kennedy route was the route Dolph was going. I really thought that's where he
failed
was going to wind up. No, just injuries, fuck up, talk too much, get fired.
I don't believe that talk too much stuff. Because, like, you listen to what Vince said, it's like, how does that equivalent to, like, stuff that, like, that Dolph does and says, and all these people go out saying, Cesaro goes out and says, and I actually...
Where's Cesaro at?
Why are they getting, quote, punished for stuff like that? That's what I don't understand, you know?
Because it's fucking Vince McMahon's and Triple H's fucking egos.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like it'd be Triple H, because if Triple H is...
Let's not give him too much credit here. He is a very arrogant fuck.
Well, they probably all are.
Yes, but Triple H has power.
Right, moving on.
Right.
Oh, we beat the hell out of that segment, so let's now go into What's On?
What's On?
All right, what's everybody been watching? And then after this, we'll get into TLC. But wrestling and non-wrestling related, start with Wayne.
I ain't really watched much this week. I've been fairly busy. Sorry to shit on the segment.
Do you want to share your news?
Yeah, I'm soon going to have a name change. No longer going to be Wayne's a boat.
Wayne is a tranny.
Be Wayne is a coach driver. Wayne, that was a secret, that is.
Kiwi column.
Yeah, Wayne's a coach driver, so I've been busy with that and everything, so I mean, really, I've sort of caught the main sort of shows and the pay-per-view and that, and that's all I've sort of done this week.
So what the fuck is up with all of the WIR people learning how to drive big vehicles?
That's better than being a janitor.
Hey, I clean up all the messes around this fucking
place. Yeah,
you're
not the only one, though. As in, you're not the only janitor that we know.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, what's that? What does that mean?
Is that why you're called Mop, then? I've only just got that.
Yeah.
After a year of listening to the Week in Review.
No. You gave Devil Vamp such shit for not realizing you were a baker, but the guy is named Mop Jockey, which means he is a janitor.
Sorry, guys, I got a call, and I'm back. Yeah, I work for a school district cleaning up shit and piss and puke.
Then at school there'd be a lot of that, then.
Right, moving on. Katie, what have you been watching?
Well, the only thing wrestling related was the NXT, TLC, and Raw, and just SmackDown. Non-wrestling related, I have a collection of best of Saturday Night Live stuff, you know, ones with just individual cast members, and it's a variety of a lot of things. I got from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and you know, it is the season, so I watched a lot of Christmas movies. I've seen It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. The only Christmas Story. I don't know if you guys ever seen it.
Christmas Story? Never heard of it.
Yeah. Fragile.
I say that sarcastically because it was filmed in Cleveland.
I've seen highlights, but I never watched the movie in its entirety.
You'll put your eye out.
Well, shoot your eye out. Not your eye out. It's on all day on Christmas. Like all day.
I think it's TNT TBS. Runs it for 24 hours, yeah. Or TBS.
Yeah.
24.
Yeah, my mother likes looking at the Yule log.
And they started on Christmas Eve, too. Those were, like, mm-hmm. I think, like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, Christmas Eve, all the way to Christmas Day. Yeah, my ex loved that fucking movie. We'd watch it multiple times on Christmas.
You guys have favorites?
Huh?
Do you have favorite holiday movies? Anybody?
Let me see. Santa Claus, Home Alone, and Jingle All the Way. The first.
Elf.
Jingle All the Way is probably the only one that I like. I hate festive movies. They're just so cliche.
Put that cookie down! Now!
That's brilliant.
I suggest you to go to YouTube and find the remix of Arnold saying, put that cookie down, put that cookie down.
Nostalgia critic.
Is that a real thing? Oh, I'm going to be gone for a couple of minutes.
If you listen to Old School at the Movies, we did a holiday episode 2 years ago, and we brought it up, and every time someone would randomly bring up something, it would be played for a couple episodes. It was, oh my god,
a Swede Mason. I love his MasterChef remix. And everything, and Silence of the Lambs one. Oh, this is brilliant.
So Old School at the Movies did it for a couple weeks and then dropped it? Hmm, interesting.
What are you trying to say?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, how we drop bits. No, we don't drop.
Or how we always do the same order every single week, no matter what.
Well, what are you talking about? We always do the keep tossing and improve first.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's getting into their own rabbit hole. Biohazard.
Well, besides the regular shows that were on WWE Network and pay-per-view and all that stuff, I watched the Once in a Lifetime DVD, the John Cena Rock documentary that they did leading up to their first WrestleMania match. It was pretty good insight into, I never heard any of the Cena interviews where he bashed the Rock, and it actually played some of the clips, and it was real eye-opening. I didn't really, I thought it was, they're buddies behind the scene, but they legitimately hated each other, or at least that's how the DVD portrayed it anyway. Outside of wrestling, I've been watching a lot of old Game Theory episodes on YouTube. Did You Know Gaming episodes, and I watched a lot of the behind the scenes of Epic Rap Battles this past week too. Oh my god, so many behind the scenes. I think I touched on the Edgar Allan Poe one last week. Watching the behind the scenes with Watsky, where he gets philosophical on everybody. It was pretty interesting that a rapper nowadays was that intellectual.
I am so far behind. Go back to what you were saying. I'm so far behind on the Did You Know Gaming. I loved to catch up on some of those, but I would sometimes watch ones on games that I didn't like. I'm out of the Pokemon generation. When it came out, I was kind of on the bubble to where you either liked them or didn't like them. And obviously people so many years younger liked them. People so many years older didn't like them. So it was a mixed batch around my age. I never cared for it, but I still watched some of the, you know, gaming for it. But I've watched like all of Zelda's, all the Mario's, at least up until a couple months ago. And I haven't really got to sit down and watch any, but I love Did You Know Gaming. And
such a great, great web series if you are into video games and stuff like that. They did a Dragon Ball Z one that was pretty interesting. It showed how many, like, the characters they omitted in certain games and stuff like that, but their sound files were still in the game, so you know they were going to be involved in some form or fashion.
Yeah, there's so many actually games like that, too, where they, like, I think Super Smash Brothers, that's the one, where they'll have, like, characters that get taken out or were part of a certain stage of making the game, but they took them out before the final product. Yeah, it's...
You know, like, I think it was Melee, they were going to add King Dedede, but they cut him at the final cut or something like that.
All right, Matt, what have you been watching or listening to? Because kind of forgot that part.
Yeah, listening to everything in the fucking world.
And Phillies
of no, I quit listening. pretty much. Watching the wrestling, well, you know, it is what it is. I actually just nicked my mom's HBO Go account, so I'm trying to catch up on Game of Thrones.
Gay.
No, you're gay.
Stop it.
You sexy girl.
For me... I haven't watched much. Went to TLC, so I got to see that live. Normal stuff for Raw, nothing really else, but I Epic Rap Battles of History, that's one thing I'll talk about every week, is now that they're doing for the past month. I think
mid-season finale.
Was that the mid-season finale this week?
Yeah, it was the
Damn
mid-season.
It was so epic. I don't know, yeah, because it's called Epic Rap Battles of History. But I had a feeling it was, because it reminded me of... It reminded me of the Russian one, because that was the season finale, and that had five former Russian leaders, and obviously had Putin. So when they started with the director's one, like Spielberg, he was great. Alfred Hitchcock could do like some Alfred Hitchcock stuff, but they went to Quentin Tarantino. That's my favorite fucking verse throughout that whole song. And then what's the second one? It's like Kubrick, which I don't know much about him. Actually, I had to Google him and learn like he did like Clockwork Orange and a bunch. I know they mentioned Clockwork Orange, but I wanted to see some of the other stuff. And he like, I think he died in like 99. And
something like that.
Michael Bay # motherfucking money. Jesus Christ. Like I went back and listened to it. Like you realize everybody makes some sort of like slight at Michael Bay or one of his films. So he had to come in at the end. It made so much sense. But I think the Quentin Tarantino part is my favorite part. And we didn't get to mention it last week, because last week was Ellen versus Oprah. And
Oprah.
Ellen's first verse is my favorite in that whole fucking song, especially when, like, you're going to get licked by a lesbian. I still think of this mid-season, or this first half of the season, my favorite is Jack the Ripper versus Hannibal Lecter. Fucking, like, I love it. The guy that they got to do Jack the Ripper... a British comedic rapper that I randomly found. Love some of his shit, and then obviously Epic Lloyd as Hannibal Lecter.
See, I like the first one. Oh my god, I just forgot who it was.
Ghostbusters versus
Ghostbusters and Mythbusters. Yeah. I really like that. They put the little Asian guy in the marshmallow fluff suit. His little dancing was the best part of that whole video.
Yeah, the whole Ghostbusters, because I'm a huge Ghostbuster. That close to a second favorite. The only one I didn't care for was, which one was that? The one that I didn't care for? Because I liked a lot of these.
I remember the four we talked about, and then it's like the other ones were just kind of a blur.
Because I liked Romeo and Juliet and Bonnie and Clyde. That was another really awesome one.
Yeah.
Oh, the Lego one. That's the one that I'm so on. I had to go back and listen to it instead of watching it. It's okay, but I think it's just outshined the first half of the season.
Yeah. Like, if you, I think they did it because their friend did Lego videos, and that's, they wanted to help him get noticed.
Or no, he
like
was
that.
Already doing, like, bigger videos, and it was just kind of like, well, since you're, like, you're doing, like, bigger stuff, like, let's team back up.
Well, hopefully the next half of the season will top the first half.
Yeah.
Hitler versus Vader 4.
No, I think they're done with that. They actually made the like that's why they did when they did the teaser trailer for the season where it's the ghost of Hitler and he gets trapped by the Ghostbuster trap. They like that was their like ending of it.
I thought they said they were just didn't want to start the season off with it because it had been done so many times.
I think at the same time, it's, since it's been done so many times, I don't think they're going to do it again. Or if they do, it might not be for a while. I mean, there's...
I didn't know they had merchandise they sold, too.
Well, yeah, well, they have merchandise and stuff, but this particular season, they're doing it for they're doing a lot of one-week-only stuff, where they'll only do certain shirts per battle, where they're only going to be out for a week. But other than that, yeah, they got a bunch of merch. I know you can actually buy the CDs. Like, you can buy season three right now on CD. They used to have season one and two, but I think those were limited edition. Now you have to, like, search online to find them. What else about them? I wanted them to do another Christmas one, because they did Santa and Moses, and then they did their version of Christmas Carol. The one that I want to see is Kevin McAllister versus Ralphie. Exactly. I think that would be really, really good. That's the only... I rarely suggest actual battles for them. Because if you go on, like, their YouTube page and look at some of the people, like, they always see Eminem versus Dre. Like, no, they're not going to give you that. There's always, like, something that come, like...
Yeah, it shouldn't be already rappers.
Well, if you do, it should be something where, like, one person, like, only one's a rapper, and the other one is, like, somebody else. But there's a reason why they would be, quote, rapping. Like, you know, Kanye West was one of the ghosts for, in the Christmas Carol. He was the ghost of Christmas Present, I believe it was. So, like, yeah, that made sense. But, like, you're not going to see that. But there's always something that just links them. Like, for example, this last one was directors. And that's why they would be having the epic rap battle. Bonnie and Clyde versus Romeo and Juliet. Those are two legendary couples that basically died together in so many ways. Yeah. So,
I don't think if they do bring a rapper in, they should still play a character. Like when Snoop Dogg did Moses and Watsky did Edgar Allan Poe.
Weird Al as Sir Isaac Newton. That's another
good
one.
Yeah.
I think the last thing that I'll mention on Epic Rap is the thing that I love that they do. I love it when it's a one-on-one battle and then somebody else comes in. Those are always some of my favorites. Like, that's how Macho Man came in with Kim Jong-il and Hulk Hogan. This one, the director's one, there's more people that came in. The Russian one. I mean, there's just so many. Nothing in the other one, a favorite, is Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama. And Lincoln comes in. That's so great.
My favorite line in the Kim Jong-il one is, he's like, "Bitch, I'll suplex you by your freaking dick hair." Every time that line hits, I die.
I think my favorite of that one is, "Brother, I'll lake drop you back to Beijing." And then Kim Jong comes back in like "Beijing's in China, you blonde asshole." Love that. All right, we've killed the show and the time we've talked about epic rap battles. Katie has dropped off the call and has come back. So we'll move on to TLC, and we'll review some of these picks. And all right, Devil Vamp, he first wrote these down, and then he put it onto a spreadsheet. I have copied the spreadsheet so I could make any type of changes and improvements to it, and I'm going to pardon it because, A, he did leave out one match, and I did have to add it in. But with the standings, he doesn't put them in numerical order, and it doesn't help, too, that there's two different standings now. I'm going to have before we got into everything and then the ending of it all. So, in first place, we had Wayne as a Baker with 19. DRG and myself tied at 16. Devil Vamp at 15. Katie the First Lady at 13. And Biohazard at...
Four for life.
I'm not going to go there because I'm not going to get in trouble. All right. Getting into some of the picks. We all got New Day versus... It's funny reading some of the stuff that Devil Vamp wrote down. He actually wrote, on a side note, wrote Zane's name wrong. He spelled it Z... Oh, shit, I've edited it, so I have to remember how he put it. Like, Z-A...
Did he put an I?
Yeah, I think it was... Yeah, that's what it was. Stupid.
Z-A-I.
Yeah, that's how he was spelling it. Like, I looked at him like, what? No, it was Z-A-N-I. Yeah.
Vanny.
And for... Eric Rowan versus Big Show. He wrote Eric, which I figured it'd be just better to write Rowan, versus Big Slow.
What, not Big Red?
Yes, Eric Rowan versus Big Red, yes.
No, Big Red versus Big Show.
You said Big Red after I said Big Show.
You also had just said it would have been easier to write Rowan instead of Eric.
Chewing gum versus Big Slow.
Stop being pedantic.
Chewing gum for against the body of bubble gum.
But all right,
double bubble.
Everybody picked New Day. We got it right. Everybody picked Ryback. We got it right. Ooh. Everybody picked Rusev. The one match the Devil Vamp did not put on here, Rusev. And we all got it right. Now to get into the fun stuff. Ambrose versus Wyatt, myself, DRG, Biohazard, and Katie, we all said Dean. Oh, actually, I should mention, Wayne's picks were on second shift. He did submit them to Devil Vamp. Unfortunately, he didn't pick NXT, so that's going to hurt him. But he picked...
Big stuff.
He picked New Day, Wyatt, Ryback, Rusev, Mizdow, Rowan, Harper, Nikki Bella, and Rollins. The only person to pick Rollins. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Anyway, but me, DRG, Biohazard, Katie, we all picked Dean. We all got it wrong. So, the only two to get that right were Devil Vamp and Wayne. And I'm the only one to pick the Usos, and Uso Crazy, I got it right. Technicality, but I got it right. DRG and Biohazard were the only two that picked Big Show, and they're the only two that got it right. Me, DRG, and Katie picked Ziggler. We were the brains, obviously. Everybody picked Nikki, but Devil Vamp wanted to go against the grain, not listening to what I said the week before, and he even referenced it. AJ is not scheduled for anything post TLC, and he picked her.
So she gone now?
I will admit, part of me thinks, but the other part of me thinks it's just going to be her taking a sabbatical or something. Her taking just her own time off, which I think is kind of fucked up because it seems like she just took one. She's been gone a lot.
Like, they only said one thing about her getting sprayed, but they didn't say she was, out of action or anything. I mean, she
did
back.
Did on WWE.com.
.com had a big fucking injury bullshit.
Oh, yeah, I did read that. Because, Ziggler's seemed legitimate, Harper's seemed legitimate, and then they put the AJ one there, and I'm like, really, really? Just really?
With the hairspray that went nowhere near the eyes.
I didn't see where that came from. Did...
It was in her fucking boot. Who the fuck carries hairspray in a goddamn boot?
See, I blinked and missed the whole damn thing.
Here's the thing that I got to ask everybody. Biohazard risked 2 points that Brie would cost it. Does that count?
She caused a distraction.
She caused a distraction, but...
She did.
Which allowed Nikki to use the spray to win. So technically she cost AJ the match.
Yeah, she distracted the referee so Nikki could pull it out and use it.
Pull it out and use it.
Go on, let him have it. He's so far behind.
Well, I know, but it was just one of those things, when I looked at the pick, I was just like, I could see that either way. That's why it's, so hard to call. It's not something that's so definitive. It's the only wager that you could do where it's like, well, I don't know if that counts. But like I said, I could see where, it does, and yet, and I can see where, it don't. Can anybody else at least see where, it don't?
No. There's no other way to do that angle unless the referee's distracted.
Because I feel like that's more Nikki than Brie.
But then I could pull a Paul Heyman and say, you guys are so ahead of me, 2 points, is it really going to matter?
I don't know. I'll wait till we get to the final score on that one. But going back to the picks, everybody picks Cena. Oh, wait a minute. Wayne decided to be the Devil Vamp of, he was...
No, he won't be in a cock for the sake of our general Rollins as winning.
Devil Vamp picked AJ to go against all of us with Nikki, not thinking logically, and you picked Rollins, not thinking logically.
I thought, why you had that skip if you're not actually going to use it? So
here's one thing in WWE. Obviously. There's a lot of times that you could say that, and that, they end up using it. I mean, not using it.
Like 90% of the time?
I know that now, don't I?
All right. Going into the wagers, DRG risked 4 that there would be a title change. He also did the for NXT, and he got them both right, but I will announce right now, word from Devil Vamp, sorry DRG, those will no longer be counted. No more making those type of wagers. I could get the exact wording up, but I'd have to get up on my phone.
And why would he do them in the first place if he's going to count them anymore?
Well, it's
generic wagers.
Yeah, there's going to be a table broken.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I think Devil Vamp wants more legitimate ones. For example, everybody else, Biohazard picked that Brie would, we already talked about that Brie would cost Nikki. We gave him the 2 points. Katie picked that Randy Orton was going to interfere in the main event. He didn't. Mm-hmm. And Wayne is the only one who, when he, it's not that he predicts something going to happen. happen, just he feels so strongly about a prediction that he's going to risk a point on it. And he came up even because he got Ryback right, but he got Eric Rowan wrong, so... Technically.
Well, somebody at the next the Royal Rumble preview show needs to predict that the World Heavyweight title will be on the show.
I think we might have to do that. But the totals for just TLC alone, which technically, again, we're doing this backwards because NXT happened first, but it's all going to get clumped together. I got 7, DRG got 11, Biohazard got 8, Katie got 4, Double Vamp got 5, and Wayne got 5. Now, in the NXT, we'll start off with Wayne, got nothing right because he didn't make any picks.
That's not fair, is it? Boo.
Well, don't go to London next time.
Too bad, so sad, moving on.
Right. Anyway,
I think the better thing is why your buddy Devil Vamp didn't say, hey, we're doing NXT picks, give me some picks.
Yeah,
I blame Devil, actually, yeah.
Absolutely, it's fucking his fault. He's the one that's not here.
Well, we can't shit on him too much, because he's now sitting there listening to this, and he's probably crying.
Don't worry, he's got his wubby.
He's crying, he's got his wubby.
No, he's sitting there, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care.
These were a lot of... random picks. Well, if I don't count Wayne's, everybody actually did pick Baylor and Nintendo, or Hando Tommy, whatever the fuck his name is. Team Indy, as I like to call them. So everybody got that right, but me and Devil Vamp are the only ones that got Charlotte winning. Me and DRG are the only ones that picked the Lucha Dragons. And me and Biohazard are the only one that picked Sami Zayn to win. And also, Biohazard risked 2 points for a title change, and DRG risked 4 points for a title change. Both got them right. I'm the only person to go completely perfect on that card. So, suck it. And the finals for that one is I got 4, DRG got 6, Biohazard got 4, Katie got 1, and Devil Vamp got 2, and Wayne got none. So
I got more than Wayne, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, it took you for me not to do it, to win, to then.
And we probably should have checked the math before we did this, but I'm making sure. This is what I have for what everybody got for this particular round. DRG is adding 17. I'm adding 11. Katie is adding 5. Devil Vamp is adding 7. Wayne is adding 5. Biohazard adding 12.
Oh, dear. So across 2 pay-per-views, one I didn't do, I still tied with Katie.
Well, that's what... Yeah. Because you got 1 more than her on... TLC, and she only got 1 right for NXT.
I know DRG might say something. I think I only have 11, not 12.
DRG told the whole Twitter world that he was saying.
Apparently he said I was bad at math, but he was bad at listening.
If I got all your picks right, they've added up to me. New Day?
I think it's the Big Show one. I think I picked Rowan, which would have gave me 11, not 12.
Blame Devil Vamp on that one, because that's one that I didn't get to double check.
I know DRG would say something next week if he's on, so I might as well blow it out now, since he wants to have a Twitter war over it anyway.
All I'll say is 17 points, that is him well in the lead now, and I'm down.
Oh, yeah, that's, your lead was at 19, of course. Yeah, he's in the lead by a lot. I'm going to take your honesty and say you were right and knock you down 1 point. I'm going to have to do all this math, or just editing the thing. But I'll make sure I do take a double check on it tomorrow when I re-listen to it one more time, if you actually did pick Rowan.
I mean, that's what I wrote down, so if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
well, I don't know why Devil Vamp fucked it up. If he wrote it down right, then it should be copied right, too. I don't know. Don't give me the excuse that you were falling asleep. Fuck you. Anyway.
Nah, that's my job.
To fuck him?
Sounds about right.
All right. And coming out of this, the standings are DRG in first place with 33. I'm in second place with 27. Wayne is in third place with 24. Devil Vamp is in fourth place with 22. Katie is in fifth place with 18. And Biohazard is in last place with 15. So,
I'm closing.
So, yes,
the gap.
Wayne, those 2 points matter somewhere.
I'm closing the gap. I promised by the end of the season I would not be in last place.
That's another thing. We got to figure out what we're doing, like when we're ending, if we are ending at WrestleMania, Or are we going to...
Yeah, that's what Vamp was saying, that the last one's going to be Mania, and then it starts over or something.
And maybe
like
Devil Vamp could, because Devil Vamp, I know you're listening now, you can reply back to texts that I have. Because I text your dumbass about certain aspects of the show and planning for the future, and you never, ever text me back. So...
I thought you were going to sneeze there for a second.
Yeah, my dog's looking at me like, what did you make that noise for? You okay?
No, he's your dog's sitting there thinking, God, this is a fucking idiot. I wound up with a fucking idiot.
She's daddy's girl. Anyway.
Whatever you have to tell yourself.
I got her from Dayton, so she's obviously not the smartest dog in the world.
Way smarter than dogs in Cleveland.
That's every woman, isn't it?
That's every person.
No, we're not talking about the women in England. I heard Scary Spice is the norm over there.
Oh, see, I thought it was that fat chick from American Idol.
Simon Cowell?
No, the one that sung the song that got some other chick was doing the video for.
That's really descriptive.
I don't remember her damn name.
All right, let me see. We're done with picks. Let's talk a little bit about TLC. Not really break down the pay-per-view, but my live experience, I had so much fun. It's just going to those pay-per-views. I went with a friend of mine who is a borderline mark. Like, he's a guy...
No, I did not go to the show with you.
Yes, because you're a borderline mark. He's a guy that... Like, he might say certain things that are Mark-ish, but at the same time, like, he doesn't like John Cena. Like, he hates John Cena. His favorite wrestler is, of all time, is Undertaker. Loves Undertaker. Whenever I went with him to Raw before WrestleMania 28, that's the one that was in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And Undertaker came out. And I filmed, like, Shawn Michaels' entrance, because that was the first time I've ever seen Shawn Michaels' entrance live, where he actually did the full pyro and everything. And I did the same thing for Undertaker. And you could hear my friend just marking out in the background when Undertaker comes out. So it's one of his favorites. So it's just, I got a guy who gets it, but at the same time doesn't get it. He's also a guy that doesn't think Dean Ambrose is a good wrestler. And he doesn't buy the whole lunatic thing. Those are exact quotes from him. So I just get to experience with him was actually fun. I'll get into the products that I bought because everybody knows me. I collect shirts, and I did buy my 100th shirt. But as soon as the doors opened, I went in there, headed for a merch stand because I'm a big dude. And they only have 2Xs.
Oh.
They only have 2Xs in a handful of shirts. And half of them are never ones that I want. Like, I don't want the John Cena shirts. I don't want, I almost bought the Roman Reigns one, I will admit. Roman Reigns one and Ryback were ones that I'm like, no. But I bought an event shirt, which I like buying those, which pisses me off. They had a normal-looking event shirt, which is the one I ended up buying because it was the only one they had in 2X. But they had another one, which was literally an ugly sweater shirt.
Yeah,
I was so fucking pissed they didn't have it in 2X. Because that would have been so much better one to wear.
You would have taken a picture with them, maybe your Christmas card. I probably would have.
But at the first one I went to, the first merch thing I went to, because I ended up going to two, and I'll explain why. But I got that shirt. I got the Eric Rowan, or the Wyatt family sheet mask, because I look so perfect with it on. I actually had a guy.
Yes, you did.
I actually had a guy, because I was right at the aisle seat, and during the Big Show Eric Rowan match, a guy was walking down the steps, and he looked at me, he's like, oh, that's your boy, huh? Like, I had no idea who the dude was, and I'm just like, yep. Just randomly pick, like, oh, you got a red beard. You got a red beard in the sheet mask. I'm like, I didn't have it on my face. I had it on my head. And you just got like, oh, it's your boy, huh? Fuck you. Anyway, I bought those two. And, of course, and it's sitting here in my truck, I have a Never Give Up towel.
You know what's funny? What's funny is during that pay-per-view, me and FTW were looking at the Never Give Up towels on WWE.
Do they sell those on the shop now?
Yeah, they just put them on there at like $4.99. But isn't it like $6.99 to ship anything with them?
Yeah, it's always, if you don't get one, it's best to buy like a handful of stuff. Or actually, what was it, Sunday night? I thought Sunday night was free shipping. You should have bought them Sunday night.
Yeah,
the 2 weeks ago Monday was the free shipping, and I got my Rollins and Ambrose shirts finally.
I do plan on buying some NXT shirts. I got four in mind that I want to buy. I want to buy Enzo and Cass, Charlotte shirts. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Top four on my list that I want to buy from NXT.
How about the Finn Balor?
I'm not Kata. No, seriously. Kata, he loves Prince Devitt / Finn Balor. That's one of his flat-out favorites. But I'm that way with Kevin Owens. I love Kevin Owens. And as soon as I seen that shirt, I had two thoughts. A, I fucking want that shirt. And B, oh, Kevin Owens. Cassius Ohno. KO. Nice.
Well, if you haven't looked it up on YouTube yet, his entrance theme song is called Fight.
I already bought off iTunes.
Yeah, I downloaded it already, too.
Of course, it doesn't sound much different than Baron Corbin's or Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose's entrance songs. But,
I will
you know.
Say this. The thing... No, his is not. That one is CFO. My bad. I'm thinking, because I bought his and I bought... Eric Rowan. Eric Rowan was Jim Johnson. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Jim Johnson isn't working with
WWE
anymore.
He's not working as much. And actually, I do like that they have separate ones because he's doing some of these ones and CFO is doing some of these ones. So it's like you're getting a nice mix.
If you mean by nice mix, you have CFO that all sounds the same and then Jim Johnson.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people say Jim Johnson's all sound the same too.
I'm pretty sure if you go back and listen to the Jim Johnson ones, almost none of them sound the same.
Well, if you really listen to some of CFO's ones, they don't all sound the same either.
Yeah, the different guitar riffs and the drum patterns with it, it's like you can tell whose song it is.
Yeah, if you really listen to CFO, I could tell by his, or with them, whatever it is, their instrument selection. Because there's certain instruments or certain sounds that I hear that you wouldn't hear from Jim Johnson. Jim Johnson is very, I think I would want to say him as classical. He's going to use a lot of standard instruments, a lot of standard sounds. But like, for example, you listen to like Tyler Breeze, that's I think one of the best examples. And just like some of the instruments that CFO uses is really what sets him apart. But it just depends on your preference. But anyway, that's, where do we go on that one? Those shirts. Oh yeah. Going back to my TLC experience. So I bought all those. And the merch table that I, or merch stand that I went to, it wasn't a very big one. And since it was just the doors just open, I told my friend, like, oh, let's just walk around a little bit more. And I walked by a bigger one that had just a lot more stuff, and I seen they had the Dean Ambrose shirt. And they had it in 2X. And I'm like, I fucking want it. I want it right fucking now. So I waited in line and got that one. And while I was waiting in line, I also had seen that they're selling the Connor Cure bracelets, which I'm wearing right now. And it's only $5, and it all goes towards, I want to say it's like the research for children not cancer, and also to, like, Pittsburgh Children's Hospitals. So that's one reason. And I'm obviously a big advocate of Connor's Cure and all that stuff, so I've talked a lot about it the past month. And then, for the show, technically my 100 shirt is Dean Ambrose, I think. I have to recount, which sucks, because all my stuff is boxed up. But I knew my count was roughly at 98. When I went to my mom's recently, I found a wrestling shirt over there that wasn't a part of the count. Or I thought was a part of the count, but I don't know why it was doing it at my mom's. So that either means my count has been off by one, or I already counted it and I don't know what happened. So either way, I bought two shirts, and I now definitely have 100 professional wrestling shirts.
Mark.
Really? Let's talk about your love of CM Punk.
Hey, I'm not being mean. You're a mark. That's good.
I like it when CM Punk went to UFC and you had that guy on your Facebook wall like berate you over it, then you deleted it. I was hoping you would like speak up. I was wanting to see what you were going to write, because I thought that was fuck.
I'm too nice a person to be bothered by him, guys, people like that. You know, I tend to ignore stuff, but my friend Tim spoke up for me.
So, okay, I'm confused here. Some dickhole got on Facebook to talk shit to you because CM Punk joined
UFC. It's how fat, like, because I don't know whether you know this, Katie's a really big CM Punk fan. Like,
yeah, I kind of remember the Twitter handle being something CM Punk.
Yeah, she's a huge CM Punk fan. Well, like, pretty much soon as the news hit, Katie was, like, retweeting stuff about it. And
Katie apparently knew that he joined before CM Punk even did.
Well, technically, CM Punk's known since, like, October. But they finally announced it when they did. But and I actually think they're what? I don't know whether... I haven't listened to Spanish Announcer from last week because I wasn't on... Yeah, long story. But T-Mac mentioned on what was deleted that supposedly, like, this deal went down so long ago, and there was somebody that reported it a couple weeks after it was signed, but obviously it wasn't announced yet.
It had just come out as a rumor instead of being the real deal. Yeah. Yeah, that happens all the time with everybody. So.
But going back to Katie, it was right after the news hit, and, like, they put, you know, it's one of those things, like, because it was on her wall, it ended up, like, showing up on my feed, was, like, someone just, like, saying, like, then, like, the news hit just hit, like, I don't know some of the stuff they said. You might have said they're like.
Basically, I retweeted a lot of comments from, like, other people and, like, from UFC and stuff. And
but, like, you did it.
Thought I was
but
doing...
you did it, like, you retweeted about it, like, instantly. Like you have, like, Google alerts for CM Punk. And as soon as a tweet happens on your timeline of CM Punk, you're like, oh, boom, instant retweet. Which, I mean. I was going to say, I look at it like, who cares? I mean, ironically enough, we will say this, it was not Devil Vamp.
But, I mean, what the fuck does this guy, who the fuck does this guy think he is? I mean, fuck it, for real. Dude, I'm sorry, but this is what pisses me off about wrestling fans. They shit on everything, no matter what it is. They will find something to fucking shit on. If somebody's excited for something, fucking be excited for it. Fuck you. I just want to punch some people in the face.
Yeah, that's what my friend Tim spoke up for me. My mom, I didn't even know it because I wasn't at home. My mom's like, check your Facebook. Your friend said something to that guy who was talking shit about you. And I looked at it, I was like, wow. I didn't even know he got more upset than I did.
Do these people really get something out of trolling? I mean, honestly?
Mm-hmm. Some do.
Whatever.
Right, going back to TLC.
Right.
For me, live match, and it was Dolph starting off show. And it was one of those things, there were certain things I got to pick up on before anybody else knew about it, or at least I would know that anybody else knew. Like, after they had the pre-show match, they brought the ring down, and put the belt on it for the ladder match. I was like, oh, immediately, great, we got the ladder match starting off, and we'll see how that goes. Dolph coming out, like I've said before, that was definitely one of the top three pop of the nights. With him coming out and them announcing him, he's from Cleveland, and the win too. That I needed someone from Cleveland to win on Sunday. So, the Big Show match and the Ryback match, like I wasn't as into those. I don't know how to put that for them.
But I mean, those were filler matches. They were just there to a match.
I think Big Show and Rowan. It was actually more of a setup for Big Show to come out later, so that's why he had to win. And Ryback, it just for his return and for him to go into Rusev.
Just to give him a win. I mean, it's a filler.
I was kind of upset that Jack Swagger did not do We the People. I was really upset. He just came out all intense and ready to fight. I'm like, no, We the People, motherfucker. We the motherfucking people.
He did it in the corner once, didn't he?
I was talking about as he came out, because normally that's, come out on stage.
Oh, you're never satisfied. You still got to We the People, but
I didn't catch
around.
The one in
the...
We don't get near enough We the Peoples.
Wayne, by the way, We the People. oh, great. Oh, God. What? This is my first show. I'm Wayne. A lolly driver.
Wayne is a driver.
Wayne is not a baker.
Wayne the bus boy.
Bastard.
The TLC match main event was... I don't know how high to put it. I'm not 100% sure if that should have been the main event. I think it was main event because of TLC, and I think the ending might have been it. But I think the ending for Rollins and Cena would have been a much more better pay-per-view ending, but maybe because they won the throw in that promo later on that they had to have earlier in the show.
To advertise the Brock Cena at Rumble.
Yeah, well, Brock Cena at Rumble at the same time, also Roman Reigns cutting that he was going to throw himself into the Rumble.
Also, I think they had to finish with a true TLC.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because like Katie said, like, it was TLC. So it kind of does make sense that they had a TLC match. Man,
the whole flow of the program for me was wrong.
Yeah, it did feel very wonky watching
it,
yeah. And honestly, I guess the crowd-wise... From the ladder match on, I didn't think the crowd was into anything really that was going on. It just that's the way it came across on the
tag match.
The show. The which tag match?
The was there more than one tag match? Well, no, not the pre-show tag match. We're talking Mizdow.
Well, no, they were into Mizdow. I kind of feel that nobody's into the Usos anymore. But, yeah, it pretty much felt like after that ladder match, it just was all pretty much downhill. Even during the TLC match, those huge fucking spots, it just didn't seem like it got the reaction it probably should have.
I think with Ziggler and Harper, they set the bar for the whole show, and then anything after that should have either one-upped it or been on the same level, and most of those matches weren't.
Yeah.
But not nice. None of the matches were.
I mean, Ambrose Wyatt was kind of there. It was second best match of the night, but everything other than those two, it just kind of didn't make, it wasn't good.
Well, part of the problem with that match is, what were they fighting over?
That is a good question. Because Wyatt interfered at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, but then they had a match after that.
Yeah, but that's about the rocking chair, and that, come on.
Come on, really? Or chair getting hit in the throat, or things that they didn't even bring up at all during the show?
That's because the commentators are fighting with each other instead of paying attention to what's in the ring. I'm glad we're not at the Spanish announce table. Who gives a crap? Come on.
Oh, speaking of that, the spot where Dean Ambrose comes over to the Spanish announce table and tells them guys he's sorry right before he goes through it, that was awesome.
One thing that my notes from going live is I noticed during the ladder match, a little dynamic that you don't catch as much on TV is when the referee communicates with the wrestlers. In one of the spots when Dolph was in the ring and Luke Harper was on the ladder that was stretched out from the ring to the announce table, the referee was communicating with Harper what was going on and when he should move.
Well, speaking of communicating with the refs, does it take you guys out of the match when the referee basically stops what he's doing to go check on a wrestler that's outside the ring? Like what I think he did it with Dolph when he was bleeding. The referee ran over there and checked on his blood and stuff during the match. Does that take you guys out of the match?
Sometimes it can add to it. It really does.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
What he's checking.
Yeah. Because I think when it's blood, that's something serious that they have to check.
And Harper ended up getting, was it 5 staples or something like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess there's a video of him getting the staples somewhere online, too.
I think it was on .com.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't show blood in their matches, but they'll show people getting their fucking skin stapled on the website.
Blacklight.
Let's see what else. And one of my favorites of the night, and I mentioned it before, was Reigns returning. I don't know how it came off on TV or watching what you thought, but I think it was just kind of just hearing his music. Like, that was kind of cool.
You fuckers exploded,
fuck yeah. I popped and I immediately tweeted, I popped for that. Fuck you, Devil Vamp.
I'm a huge Reigns fan. I don't care what anybody's got to say. I like the kid.
It was good because I think a lot of us were expecting Orton, and then Reigns came out instead of Orton, and it was one of those shocker moments. At least for me, it was.
I think Orton will be back the last Raw of this year.
I hope he doesn't come back till Rumble, and he's one of the surprise entrants in the Rumble.
He's rumored to be on one of the house shows. He's supposed to be on the Madison Square Garden post Christmas one, which is like their tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but those are not in the TV, the TV story wise. That's just MSG.
Yeah, because you had Undertaker return to a house show to get in ring shape.
It's so close to Rumble now, it's got to be Rumble here and so on. And that'll be eliminating Rollins.
Well, when is Sheamus due back? I mean, you got a lot of guys that are potential to be returning at Rumble.
I didn't even know Sheamus was injured, to be honest.
I think surgery on something.
So I don't care about Sheamus.
But he's a guy that they would throw out there as a return.
Kind of like
Rumble.
They did last year.
Heavens. He's having surgery on removing Triple H's penis from his arsehole.
They could do Sheamus. They could do Bad News Barrett, Randy Orton.
But Barrett returned.
But he didn't return to in-ring action.
Oh, it's not that. He returned, and it's like, I'm back now, and then he disappears again.
He's going to change
Sounds
things.
Like The Rock.
He's going to do all this and do all that and ain't been on fucking TV in 2 months since.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
You ain't getting no more TV time.
All right, Zack Ryder, let's go.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
It'd be fucking hilarious if that's one of the surprise returns is Ryder.
As an edgehead instead of friggin' New York, New Jersey Guido gimmick.
Oh, I just had the best thought, right? What about if it's like they do that as like a little troll of the fans and that, and they have Reigns and Zack Ryder at the end, and just Ryder just goes, fuck it, and actually shoves Reigns out of the ring and wins the Rumble. That'd be amazing.
I think I would mark out so hard for that.
See fucking Vince try and squirm out of that one, coming down to the ring and blowing his fucking thighs.
Yeah, like fucking Reigns goes over the top rope and tries to do like a skin the cat and his hand slips and falls. That would be fucking awesome.
Main event, Brock Lesnar versus Zack Ryder. Might as well face Zack Gowen again.
Oh, Zack Gowen. Anyway. I think that's enough TLC talk. We've dragged on this whole episode long enough, but let's get into
Wayne's Water Cooler.
Wayne's Water Cooler.
That freaks me out. Well, it's a good one this week. I might be able to do it off one page, so I don't have to keep flicking around looking for stuff. So we'll start at the top.
Okay, you like doing it off one page?
Oh, anyway.
No, he likes doing it on one page.
Wow. Trying to think of something clever, but it's not happening. Right.
There's a first.
Here's one from Mets Fan Forever on Reddit, who's apparently like a big rumor sort of go-to guy. And he goes, a lot of people within the WWE were unhappy with the TLC show, and it was received, and there was apparently some word going around that some of the wrestlers were staging a silent protest in favour of Triple H taking over the main roster and running it like NXT. What's more, Mets Fan Forever claimed John Cena held a talent meeting in an attempt to rally the troops, so to speak. And to explain that silent protest is not a good idea, but rather working hard and being better is the best way to go. What? That's John Cena. That's true. That's such an ass kissing thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised Cena would say that. He is a company guy. That's you know where your bread's buttered.
Monday night, he rallied the troops, and then on Wednesday night, he does tribute to the troops.
Oh.
But honestly, I'm sorry, if you don't like what you're doing or how it's being done, do something about it. I mean, all of those matches in TLC, every one of them had the chance to perform at the level Harper and Ziggler did. Every one of them did, and none of them did. So don't give me this, well, they don't give us time. All the big matches there and all the ones with the up-and-comers were given time, and they just didn't perform.
But ladders and that, and if you're willing, I'm not degrading what Ziggler and Harper done. Like I said, that match was brutal, and the fact that they done that to their bodies and everything is amazing. But they've got a lot more maneuver to do stunts and stuff like that with than a steel chair or a set of steps.
Essentially, a steps in a chairs match, you can use anything. You don't have to just use chairs or just use steps. And I'm sorry, the steps thing was stupid. First off, they announced the steps that weighed 180 pounds, and we know damn good and well they don't. But you can use other pieces of equipment during that match.
Next year they'll have an announced tables match.
Now, see, actually, I thought during that tables match, I'm like, what if somebody was to go through the announced table? Does that count as a win?
I thought they've done that spot before.
Have they done that one before? I can't remember. There's been many goofy ones.
I thought they did. I mean, it could be wrong.
I know in the video games that's how it works, but now
they said it would have. Cole said it would have if that broke, but that was still intact. So when Rollins went flying over it.
Yep. right, Wayne. Moving on.
There we go. According to Figure Four Daily, the shirt WWE had made for Brock Lesnar is the last the company will be making for him. The people who do the merchandise for WWE suppliers have apparently been told not to make any more items for Lesnar, but instead focus on Sheamus. It looks like the company are preparing that Lesnar's leaving after WrestleMania.
When I was doing the news earlier, that actually there's a statement from WWE saying that's not true, and yada, 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 yada. So, yep.
I have a good design for the Sheamus shirt. Have it say Lucky Charms.
I have a design for the Sheamus shirt. How about some, actual character?
fella.
Don't hate on Seamus.
Kind of hard not to.
I have two of his shirts.
That's fine. His in-ring work and his heel work is great. He is the worst fucking babyface in the world.
Worse than Miz?
I would rather have Miz as a babyface. At least he's trying.
That's true.
How many times did babyface Seamus run down and interfere with a match?
I don't know.
Don, I'm waiting for an answer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I thought it was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But.
Right, next one. Matt Stryker has apparently been tapped to call the Wrestle Kingdom 9 show at the Tokyo Dome with Jim Ross.
Cool. I still won't watch.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch either.
Yeah, yay, those two can sit around and talk about how they're going to kick each other.
Right, that one went down like a lead balloon. I tried, Kat. Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt is still the plan for WrestleMania 31, but that's not set in stone and plans could change. For
an event. Yeah, Undertaker picture, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, he might die.
See, I get what they're trying to do, but for some reason Bray Wyatt lately has reminded me of Mankind more than The Undertaker.
See, I think you can I think you can put the Mankind like on both Dean and Bray at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
Adrian Neville is the latest name who's been the subject of discussions regarding a main roster call-up from NXT.
The Ascension promo. Nobody said anything about it.
No one cares.
God, that's bad. But it's so bad it comes around being good.
That's only because your brother's not here.
Well, that and the fact that the Ascension basically has, lost every match since the TakeOver, the second one, when they lost the titles.
Mm. Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter, but it kind of took their steam, you know what I mean?
Here's another Wayne's water cooler. They're talking about
TakeOver again.
This is week three now. They were talking about repackaging the Ascension, as you saw in the promo, as an old school tag team, sort of like Legion of Doom or Demolition, which is why they have the face paint.
Like,
and that's what it reminded me of. Demolition more than anything.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, it reminded me of Demolition.
Yeah, it's not the a stretch. I mean.
The only thing with Legion of Doom was how, because it wasn't exactly shoulder pads, but just the way that it stuck out was kind of like the Legion of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it reminded me of Demolition.
They did a line, they said, we'd snack on danger, dine on death, I think, in one of the vignettes, and that was very LOD.
I'm honestly excited to see them come up and see what they do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how they debut, but
it's going to be better than New Day, that's for sure. Although,
don't go that.
New Day Live is better than New Day on TV. Hands down.
Agree.
He's a good one.
But if you're a TV product, you kind of got to come across good on TV, too.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with the Divas. If you go to a live event, not a pay-per-view, not a Raw, the Divas matches are great. But on Raw, it's like 2 minutes, and you don't get invested into it. Nobody cares.
Well, that, and they force you everything into a total Divas angle.
Yeah, but like live, they're amazing live. They're actually good wrestlers, and it doesn't come across like that on TV.
All right, here's a good one. I love Meltzer rumors because there's absolutely no substance to them. Sorry, Kat, I know you love him, but there's absolutely no substance to his rumors, but here we go. If you're one of the millions who think Monday Night Raw running for 3 hours every week is too much, apparently you're not alone. Although he could never say so publicly, or at least right now, Vince McMahon thinks 3 hours is too long as well. That's it.
And
that's
then,
brilliant.
You know what? Dave Meltzer's a fucking idiot. Vince McMahon is not going to tell him that. If it didn't come from Vince's mouth, don't believe any of it.
I bet you it's one of those things that it was heard that he was like, yeah, it's like too much. But at the same time, he probably finished sins with, but all these fucking sponsors, though. Yeah.
But then, it could have been it was a 1 week they were talking about making the show that night. And they're like, oh, this show is too long. We got to fill it. You know, they may have taken it out of context, too.
Yeah.
If you don't get it directly from Vince, shut up.
Blame all the millennials.
Their faces, they're pushed into the pole. Anyway.
is he completely wrong that the millennials are kind of lazy and don't want to step out of, don't want to rock the boat?
No. he's not. I'm part of the millennials generation, and it's like a lot of my generation just expect things to be handed to them, and it's not fun. Because even where I work, I'm usually the only one that steps up because
DV would argue with that, but.
With anybody below him.
Yeah. Good cover there.
So I was going to say, is he above you, I take it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good call then.
Yeah, it's like this generation of, and even going forward, it's like everybody's lazy. Everybody expects things to be handed to them, and that's not how it should be. You need to take it for yourself. It's like, if you want all this stuff, you need to go, and not steal it necessarily, but you need to present yourself that you are the best, and that's, a lot of the wrestlers aren't doing that.
Alright, I'll go with the last one here. A new European title might be making an appearance on Monday Night Raw, which it didn't, or somewhere in the near future. Lana posted a picture of the updated version of the old belt with the updated WWE logo on it, but then quickly deleted the tweet.
I think if he went into a feud with Sheamus or something, then it would make sense, but...
I'm sure they flirted with the idea, but it, for whatever reason, didn't go through with it, so...
You know what I'd like to see? I mean, granted, it goes against what I said before.
Lana topless.
you can already see
that.
Yeah,
you can see that already.
You can never see enough of it.
But... I like to see another returning superstar go up against Rusev and possibly win, and that's how you could introduce the European title, but make a Bad News Barrett.
X-Pac.
No, Bad News Barrett.
No. When they did that 1,000th episode of Raw, X-Pac's so fat now, it's not even, there's no point.
Well, and he blew out his asshole, so can't do that.
What, did you do that with China?
No, actually, he did it on the ring ropes.
I know.
Doing the Bronco Buster, right?
Yeah.
Did China give him a pink sock?
I thought somebody kicked the ropes, and when he fell, he didn't catch himself, and he landed straight on his asshole.
Either way, one or the other, yeah.
He blew out his asshole.
There's an injury you can only get in wrestling, probably.
Blowing out your asshole. That's like a bad porn.
So China was involved.
Exactly.
Well, if Wayne's done, does Biohazard have any more stuff?
No, he covered them all.
I was going to say, you're making it out like I didn't provide enough. I think I produced some good quality goods.
I've heard like people talking scenarios about WrestleMania, but nothing is like rumor rampant. Like, if Cena wins at Rumble, Rollins cash in, Reigns wins, and then Ambrose gets involved, have a Shield triple threat main event, but I know they're not going to go there.
Mm-hmm. So. No, I personally think they're going to keep Dean and Seth away from each other for a while, because that's, as long as they stay healthy, that's a feud you're going to see for the next 10 years, so
yeah.
No need to blow it out now.
All right, let's get on to emails.
Oh, here we go. All right, we'll start.
Start with Andy Anderson. No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Oh, right, I nearly bite there. I was just
trying to be like, oh, well.
No, I've got cats up, so we'll get the...
Oh, and you do need to listen to last week's episode, because Devil Vamp does show you how to read a cat email, except for fucking up the Japanese wrestlers thing. But everybody gets a pass on that. We just like to give you shit.
Oh, brilliant. If DV can do it, then I really have to up my game. All right. December 16th, 1990, WF.
Whoa. That's how we started off the email?
This week, there's no hey yo.
Whoa!
Wow.
He must be half asleep then.
Oh, yeah.
Right, no, I suppose I better start with it right. Hold up. Hey yo. So, for this week in pro wrestling history, I present you with the following. God, that's etched in my brain. That's not good. Right. December 16th, 1990, NWA held Starrcade in St. Louis, Missouri, in their main event. I think I did at that time. In the main event, Sting defended the NWA Championship against the Black Scorpion, who would later be revealed as Ric Flair in a steel cage match.
How you doing?
How you doing?
December 17th, 1994, ECW held Holiday Hell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In the main event, Shane Douglas defended the ECW Championship against Ron Simmons.
How you doing?
Damn! December 18th, 1970, Rob Van Dam was born. Oh, fuck's sake. Rob Van Dam was born Rob Swarovski in Battle Creek, Michigan.
He's got high.
Wait, where was that at?
Battle Creek, Michigan. Everyone knows that, don't they? Come on, an idiot would get that one wrong.
Well, no, it's not you pronouncing it right. It just makes sure you got the fact right, because you didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was hinting at as well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to ignore the fact that I messed up now on that months ago, and everyone still won't let me forget it. December 18th, 1975, Trish Stratus was born. Patricia, oh, for God's sake, Stratus Gas in Richmond Hill, Ontario.
Stratus Gas?
Stratus, I don't know. Why can't people have nice names like Smith and Jones and...
To be fair, when I'm reading the news, I don't even bother reading the real names.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be my new gimmick on here. I think I'll just cut half the email out.
You know what? It'd probably be smoother.
December 19th, 2009, Ring of Honor held final battle in New York City. In the show's main event, Ring of Honor champion Austin Aries fought Tyler Black to a time limit draw.
How you doing?
December 20th, 2009, TNA held Final Resolution in the Impact Zone. In the main event, AJ Styles defended the TNA Championship against Christopher Daniels.
How you doing?
There we go.
No deaths this week, wow.
No. Oh, and there's no cat route. He's lazy this week, cat. That's shoddy email. Not impressed. Right.
Yep.
Let's go over. Oh, fuck it. We'll leave the RG till last. Right. Andy Anderson. Hello, boys and Katie.
Hey, Andy.
There we go. Someone has to do it. Hey, how Wayne, don't let him get you down. I enjoy the way you read emails. Couple of thoughts I had on Raw. And he actually does say that. I didn't add that.
Oh, no. He said that last week. And Vampire. You weren't here.
Would be funny if this is the same email as last week.
Probably.
He just copied and pasted.
He wants the proper red out, don't he? Anyway, a couple of thoughts I had on Raw. I think asking people to vote for an Extreme Rules street fight or no holds barred match is like asking, do you want to have sex, fuck, or screw? WWE, please.
Wait. You gotta love, though, how like Chris Jericho pretty much pointed out they're like, yeah, they're the same three things.
No, what you gotta love is fucking Heyman's reaction to it. Like, any of them were going to be good, and he just, oh my god, oh, like, it's the worst thing in the world that he just got picked for whatever stupid one.
No, the best one was Michael Cole, who goes, or Jerry the King, I think it was actually, goes, oh my god, it's a street fight! The other two are bad, but, oh.
No holds barred got like 9%, though.
Because that really sucked.
No, it gives a shit.
It was never going to go to a match anyway.
I think the match should have started with Brock Lesnar come out F5 and then Paul Heyman pin Chris Jericho.
That's what I thought was going to happen too.
See, I thought the bell had already rang. And then...
So how many people did Chris Jericho threaten to beat up in one episode of Raw?
Fandango.
Fandango,
Heyman, and then didn't he threaten Rusev?
No, Rusev threatened him, didn't he?
I can't remember which way it went, but he was involved in that storyline too.
Rusev, big guy, small guy, big gob, he's going to crush him. And then he goes, well, I'm glad you're in a mood for fighting, because I know someone who wants to fight, didn't he?
Well, yeah, if you're going to call my old lady a fucking whore, yeah, I'm going to probably want to fight you too.
Right, poor Andy. Anyway, let's get back to this. WWE, please don't mess with our fucking intelligence. It's not worth for use to vote on a match like that at all. I did not see all of Raw, but what I saw is what I'm commenting on. I think it's crazy Lesnar is the champ, but he does not even wear it on Raw. If I was the champ, yeah, which he did go on in the final segment, didn't he, but... If I was the champ, I'd wear everywhere, including the bathroom, and I'd even leave the door open. Far too much information, though. If I did not take up too much time, you can read my story below. Right, so let's go for it. I'm starting to be able to use WWE to relate to my 7-year-old Brady. Brad on Saturday was wrestling in his first wrestling tournament this year, and in years past, he's just wore a t-shirt and shorts, but this year I got him a singlet. He at first wanted no part in wearing a singlet, but after I said he'd be like Jack Swagger or Mark Henry, he was more willing to wear his singlet. Also, after we watched a video of his matches and I was talking over his move, he said... He said his high crotch single leg. Oh, right, sorry, I thought that was going to go somewhere else. When he picked it up to the ceiling and the kid falls to the mat was his finisher, and I thought that was awesome. Thank you for reading my email, and that has been my nickel. Sorry, I ruined the end of that. I just saw crotch and finger, and I got the wrong.
No, you dirty-minded fuck. That's an actual amateur wrestling move.
I do apologize. So, has anyone got anything to add to that?
Andy seems like the type of person that he'll wear the title in the bathroom, but also have a slammy on top of the toilet.
What, like
a chain? Make a chain out of the slammy.
Like a Mizdow one, a little one.
What was that? I didn't get a good look at it.
It's the one you can buy off a WWE shop, I believe.
The actual
They started making little toy ones that they sell now, too.
They're actually selling the toy ones. I know you can buy a replica one.
Yeah, honestly, they probably started selling it just so Sandow could have it.
Yeah.
Which, that kind of reminds me. Did anybody see that they're now starting to sell replica belts for NXT titles?
Yes.
Yeah, they just announced that at TakeOver or something like that.
They announced it the day before TakeOver.
Did you talk about that? Probably, because are we talking replicas or the little cheap knockoffs?
No, the replicas.
Like
$300.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, any way to make a buck.
I'm waiting to see how long it takes somebody to wear those. Fucking marks. Fucking marks. I should have bought the World Heavyweight title. TLC?
Come on, any idiots buy replica belts and then take pictures of themselves and post it on Twitter.
Of course, if you'd have wore your heavyweight championship belt, it would have been the only one at TLC.
No, there's more than one person wearing one there. Come on.
Oh, just not the champion of the WWE, right?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that, Mop, about champion not being used very often?
I am sort of okay with it if it's only for, like, a month here, a month there. But to go, what was it, 4 or 5 months with him not even on TV at all and... It kind of irritates me. Because what the fuck is the point of the champion?
For me, it was like it was supposed to make it where all the other matches matter, and it's not just on the title. And with
but
him gone, I think that's where they were going with it originally, is that every match should matter, but it still didn't go as like they planned. And then put more focus on the champion when he comes back, special attraction, people want to tune in to see the champion, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, supposed to and succeed are two different things.
Exactly.
All right. Tighten note of the time, Heavy, because we'll do the call. DRG's call now.
Yeah. Don't worry about sending it to me. I checked on my email. Here's how... I'm going to keep this part, too. Here's how dumb Devil Vamp is. DRG, if you look, he sent it to me, you, and Devil Vamp. Devil Vamp then forwarded the exact same email to me.
Bless him.
Hear that, Devil Vamp? You forwarded me the exact same fucking email that was sent to me. Clearly, if you learn how to read, it's called reading. Top to bottom, left to right. Group words make a sentence. They tell no for any headaches. Might offer any cramps. But now, let's get into DRG's phone call.
Whatever.
It should be another 20 minutes.
This is, well, I'm calling this DRG's toilet break, but here we go.
I don't know.
If we're talking pushing him out a window, I'd push pretty hard. But other than that, I don't give a shit.
If it's his last run, then maybe put the title on him to have if he has a good match left in him, build up a new star to drop the title to the new star before he leaves. But if it's not, then I would just keep him away from the title. Keep him in that upper mid-card area.
Totally agree. I'd just use him in his current role of GM that can be physical, use him a bit more physically, like he can interact a bit more and stuff like that. But I wouldn't have him as a week in, week out wrestler now. No way.
Yeah, I agree too.
That's a good one.
Wasn't that a week in review question from somebody?
Probably him.
I don't know, like, to me, what exactly do you mean by stipulation? Like, kind of match?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's the one he's going with.
Always been a fan of the plain old simple hardcore match.
See, I like the Money in the Bank ladder match.
I was a fan of the Hell in the Cells until they made it a pay-per-view and watered it down.
Yeah, I like that.
Elimination Scramble is another good one. Not Elimination Scramble, but the Championship Scramble. There we go.
I was going to say, Elimination Chamber was pretty cool, too, for a while.
Yeah.
I like that they're moving it to a different time of the year.
Yes.
But I'm waiting to see what kind of relevance it holds, where it's at.
Well, sure. Where did they put it?
I think if they did it...
I want to say it's pre-SummerSlam. Not exactly right before, but it's in that time.
That's what they said.
So it'll be kind of like the Royal Rumble is to Mania, the Chamber is to SummerSlam?
I think that's what they're going with, and that'd be an awesome idea if that's what they're
That makes
with.
A that whole would, hell of a lot more sense.
That would. I don't think they would do that, because that would put it in June, which Money in the Bank's in July, and have both main events, six-man or eight-man main events. It's kind of like, I don't think they would do it.
No, that. I thought Money in the Bank was in June.
It was the 30th. We had
Extreme Rules is May.
Since there's only one money or one title, they only need one Money in the Bank. Get rid of the Money in the Bank pay per view and put it back at Mania.
I agree with that. Yeah,
I'd like to see a Money in the Bank for all the belts. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that could be interesting. But do they actually care about any of the other titles?
They used to say it was for a championship of your choice, and then they always cash in on World Championship because that's the big title.
I was gonna say you'd be the guy cashing in on the fucking U.S. title looks like a jackass.
Or the Divas title.
Now that I would mark out for. I would mark out for somebody to win the Money in the Bank and try to cash in on a diva.
Santino Marella.
No, let it be fucking like Dean Ambrose. Dude, just something fucking off the wall.
Alright, I'll do the last bit of the call.
What's up, guys? Now, before we get going on three questions, I just want to clarify that we got our math right, and I'm at 32 points, because I got plus 16. For the picks.
No, that's got to be.
Good job, Heavy. You did it honestly. I did it way, way cheaply. Now, my first question, Kurt Angle has re-signed with TNA, and we're suspecting this to be somewhat of his retirement tour. My question is, how hard do you push Kurt Angle in 2015? I mean, do you put the title back on him?
Like they do. Baylor and Atomi versus Tyson Kidd and Natalya. Yeah.
That was Gabriel, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. They'll probably go back to that, or who knows.
Nah,
there was the rumor they were staying as a tag team, or they wanted to keep them as a tag team for a while, but you know how rumors are.
Well, I mean, if you split them up, where do they really go? I mean, they're not going to go to the title picture.
Not yet.
No, and you can't, I mean, I guess you could, but you can't spread them out too thin because you're talking hour shows, so you can't, you know, I say leave them together, or whatever. I don't give a shit about either of them, but.
If Finn Balor keeps it, the paint or whatever.
All right, secondly, with all the gimmicks that we had at TLC,
Of
course, on Raw with a random cage match that just happened to pop up even though there was a cage hanging from the roof.
But just do it on the...
My question is, what's your favorite stipulation in wrestling and why? You know, is there a specific match that we should go back and watch?
Yeah, doing it every week.
Yeah, but Baylor's paint fucking badass. I went back and looked a lot of that.
I could see where they might do it for special events because his paint is just so incredible looking. So.
Yeah, it's way too intricate to try to do essentially four times in the same day for a television taping.
Yeah, but that entrance, that was a great entrance. I think I've watched it like six times so far.
Well, okay, what do you think? Do you think that entrance would be able to translate onto the main roster?
Yes, but that means Kevin Dunn actually have to do some work. Sorry, I'm Kevin Dunn bashing tonight.
Well, the thing is, though, the ramp for WWE is about three times longer than the NXT ramp.
He don't have to crawl all the way, though, does he?
But that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to see the paint until he got almost to the bottom, right?
You could have him come out of the crowd at the bottom of the ramp, cut the walk down. He could just sliver out of the crowd.
No, that part wouldn't work.
Oh, wouldn't that? Oh, sorry.
Actually, going if you go that route, why don't you just have him come out from underneath the ring?
Yeah.
Really, coming out of the crowd was a no, but coming out of the ring was a yes.
It'll
be a while before he gets up. I mean, they'll have plenty of time to try to figure out if he's still going to do that when he comes up the main roster.
I was going to say, there's ways you can work around that.
And also, does that, can you see the WWE using the smoke machines and the lasers and the things that made that entrance, what other, not lasers, but strobe lighting, where it was just kind of on and off? They don't really have that ability, I don't think, at an arena.
Well, they've got a lot more time and money freed up since they ain't got the Fandango little firework thing that comes down from the ceiling.
Oh, yes.
Anymore.
That saved them so much money.
I think it would translate. They didn't, like Katie was saying, it's just going to take a little time to figure out, just timing issues more than anything.
I mean, that's the problem with the NXT crowd, is they get into all of that stuff and they're all, it's, I would say 99% adults. Well, you get into an arena, it's not going to be mostly adults. It's going to be mostly kids. And how many of those kids are just going to be creeped out by what he's doing?
That's the point, though.
But he's a babyface.
But that's, now he's a babyface. If he gets to the main roster, we don't know.
Well, true, but was
lastly,
he only ever going to be able to be a heel?
Concluded, it was a great
not
show.
Not necessarily.
We know Baron
Corbin
is
going
to be taking on Bull Dempsey coming
he
up.
Was
but
awesome.
I want to know,
he was,
what's next
point,
for
creepy,
Bayo and Balor?
They were scared
do
of him
keep
first,
them as a tag
became,
team?
Do
you set
know,
them in singles? And if so, you know,
entrance,
who's next for
them?
Do you put them against champs for tag team? Or who would you book them in a feud with in singles? It's my time, guys. Hope y'all have a great one.
Especially
kill it
if
with
he goes
content.
With that Venom look, like
gone.
He did at one of the New Japan shows.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the other thing. Doesn't he change his paint up like all
every
the time?
Show? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I went back and looked at some of the old ones. He did Venom. I think he did Carnage. He's done.
I know. He's done almost like every superhero character there is, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And is that going to be a copyrighted look? Like, is that Venom's look, or is that enough of a variance that they can't come after it?
I think it would be enough of a variance that they wouldn't say anything. But then it could get them extra exposure, or, hey, he looks like my favorite hero. I want to go read his comic or watch his TV show, or especially if there's a lot of little kids, the superhero thing's going to get over.
I'm pretty sure that would mean that Disney and WWE have to come to some agreement on that.
And, like, the one he used at TakeOver wasn't anything distinguishable. So I was just saying special events, he could do something close. It doesn't necessarily have to be, hey, it's Venom, but, hey, it kind of looks like Venom. And you know,
because didn't Mysterio used to come out as, like, hero, not superhero knockoffs, and they made him stop doing it?
Mania and stuff.
Oh, like, it was Mania. Yeah.
He was Captain America 1 year. He was Joker. He was Avatar.
Didn't they make him stop doing that?
Well, no, I thought he only did just WrestleMania.
Oh, has he not been in a WrestleMania in a while?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
He did Silver Surfer when he did a SummerSlam, but
it's not that he stopped doing it, it's he stopped doing WrestleMania.
He just
stopped wrestling.
There. Yeah. I don't know. We still got time, so we'll see.
Anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's the end of emails, I take it. The long email segment.
Yeah, I ain't got any more.
And let's move on to our final segment. All right, I know we don't have Age Walker on the call.
Yeah, that was me. But, sorry, I was writing. I've been on mute the whole show, and then just as I come off, that happens. I'll give you some work to do.
That's no worry. Talking about we leave it in there. Fuck it. I'm going to do a fast editing on this motherfucker.
Yeah, this sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. Best of the week. Wayne, let you go first, Mr. Unmute.
I was gonna go NXT, but we sort of talked.
You can still go NXT, you bloke.
You sure? You sure I can?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, I'm gonna go NXT then.
Oh God!
Jesus, really? You can't come up with an original thought? God damn!
I'm just a sheep. I follow Katie everywhere.
Creeper.
So you're stalking her.
Tell me, listen to Cerebral Satire this week and see how he dogs his wife, and that'll change your opinion.
Oh, I'm going to.
I weren't that bad, was I? It was no worse than what Ant is.
I think Ant does it with. I think Ant does it while his wife's in the room with him.
He does.
Anyway, best of the week.
I was about to say, Katie.
My best of the week is the Harper and Ziggler match from TLC. I thought it was a great opening match. I'm glad Ziggler won. He was one of my picks. And it was just a great way to start the show. I enjoyed it. It was awesome.
Completely agree. I said it earlier. Love it. Anybody else on it?
This is a really good match. It was really awesome to see.
Yeah, it set the bar for the show, which this show didn't meet that bar. Yeah.
All right, Biohazard.
Mine would be the adding of color to the Kevin Owens CJ Parker match. Although it seems like it was unintentional, it still made that match more, like, meaningful.
Oh, that was unintentional. He didn't have his nose smashed off his face.
See, it looked like when I went back and watched the video, it looked like his hand got, when he hit, it hit his mouth and the side of his nose. I think that might have been his tooth that went into his...
To the hand, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt a bit that his nose was broke, because he was still all screwed up when he came back out later.
I was going to say, the stitching was there, weren't it? And as soon as he put pressure by leaning over,
it just poured out.
And it fucking went again, didn't it?
Hell of a debut, though. Came out with a bang.
I was going to say, he's a badass, and he come out and he looked more than a badass.
Never watched a Kevin Steen match, which I regret now, because that... I've never seen a big guy fly like he does, and smooth it was anyway.
Let me introduce you to a new app. It's called YouTube. go in there and listen to his promos and his matches. They're very, very good.
Give me a top three matches, and I'll go watch those.
Pick a Generico match. Brain fart. Who else did he have some good ones with?
I just keep thinking of feuds. I mean, granted, he had a great feud with Generico.
Generico's the big one, though. Generico's the one that they did everywhere for like 2 fucking years they feuded and kept it going. It was really, really good.
Davey Richards.
Who's this Steen and Generico anyway? I don't know who they are.
You got to realize they have officially broken the walls down on that. Not by name, but they have officially acknowledged a lot of people's past without using
the great thing about that final promo was the when he was going on about one by one the relationships he had with all the old NXT stars and stuff. That was brilliant.
What sucks is they actually did about a month ago where they completely tore up the kayfabe of El Generico went back down to Mexico or wherever. And that's where he was doing charity work, and then Sami Zayn was this wrestler who idolized El Generico and got a deal, and like that the whole little story that they came up with is gone because they basically announced, yeah, we had matches in, well, they did say Ring of Honor, but you know, I feuded with them, and I think it was Sami Zayn during a Survivor Series, they had like this article out of what would be your dream Survivor Series team, and he said Kevin Steen. And they mentioned, like, his history, so it's like they threw it all out. But
well, in interviews, like he just did a couple weeks ago, did Jericho with him and Adrian Neville. And he actually said he's still keeping it going. He said that they were on a lot of the same shows together, but they weren't the same person. They just had a very similar path.
Of Generico?
Yeah, Generico and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, they fucked it up. It was good while it lasted, type of thing.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Like, I think when Steen left Ring of Honor, he said he was going down to Mexico with El Generico or something like that. But another good feud, I think, with Kevin Steen. A lot of it's just his ring work. It's the feuds in general, a lot of the mic work. You know, El Generico is one of your top ones. He had a good feud with Davey Richards. Davey Richards, who he beat for, I believe, the Ring of Honor title.
I was just going to say, Biohazard, if you don't know his Ring of Honor entrance theme, you want to download that as well. That's kick-ass.
That's just a great song, period.
Well, there's two different versions. There's that one. The Final Battle version is my favorite because it actually has the intro for Saul theme on there. And there's another song that it wasn't his entrance theme, but I think it's good enough, and it's called Killsteen Kill, I believe, which was one of his catchphrases. But that'll just transfer into my best of the week. It's just Kevin fucking Owens. Granted, I could have done going to TLC. I could have brought back up Rusev and Ryback of how I was right about it. Dolph Ziggler in that first match. There's so many things, but I'm gonna go with Kevin Owens best of the week. I'm completely happy for the dude. One of the top nicest guys I've ever met in independent wrestling. I had obviously heard of him for a very long time before I actually got to meet him. And the dude picked up a conversation with me instantly. I think it was just about my beard, of all things. And we started talking about that. And the funniest story I have with him was a match at some point at the end of last year. If anybody knows how I do with AIW, when I go to their shows, I live tweet results from the Ohio Indie Report Twitter page. And I always have my phone open and everything right there in my lap. And he did a spot right by the guardrail where he was leaning over as his opponent was beating up on him. And he looked down real quick, and he had seen that I had got, like, a tweet or something. So I got, like, a notification at the top of my phone. And he was just like, oh, you got a tweet. And he, like, tapped my phone, like, while, like, this match was going on. The dude, he's one of the guys that gets it. And I absolutely love Kevin Steen. Seeing one match live with him is what bought me in, and now there's a lot of people that are finally seeing him and looking at me and going, I finally get it too. And it's awesome.
Right, so with his debut then, would anything you'd have marked out, or did that live up to expectation, what you saw?
The in-ring ability of the actual match and his toughness shine through in the match, and I'm happy with that. And I think the highlight of his career is when he turned against Generico. So they basically did a fast forward of that, his first night in NXT, and they're going to relive that epic feud. So that's really exciting too.
Do you think they'll hold off on their first match until the next takeover? I haven't read the spoilers yet, so I'm not sure what happened already.
I thought they're recording them this week.
They recorded them, I think, Friday night.
Oh yeah, that's right. Cause there was a match. They're going to hold off some. Only match that I actually did see was Owens and Neville. I believe it was Neville. Could be wrong. Spoilers.
Thanks. You didn't give me the warning, did you?
Spoilers.
Yeah, I saw it was posted. I just haven't looked on it yet.
Who else hasn't gone for Best of the Week? Say, I went along.
Yeah, I haven't gone yet.
No one cares.
Oh. Well, fuck you then.
Right, what's your best of the week?
Along the same lines as yours, the fact that Owens comes in and basically goes straight to the top, which he should have. And Ambrose main eventing two of the last three pay-per-views. And the future of WWE is very bright.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been saying that for such a long time, and now we're getting to the point where it's not the fact that Dean Ambrose is main evented Raw. Main evented pay-per-views in a row. But there's no John Cena. Not counting Survivor Series. I mean, we're having people main event these pay-per-views, and there's no John Cena, and there's no Randy Orton either. I suggest everybody, WWE comes to Cleveland, that is, there's a guy named Chris Van Vliet. He always gets interviews. This time he got an interview with Seth Rollins, and I really enjoyed it. He kind of mentions, because it was rumored that, we all thought it was going to be him and Cena main eventing, and they brought it up that some of his highlights, and he had mentioned like how him and
Ambrose went over. Yeah.
Well, how him and Ambrose main evented a pay-per-view, and that's like the first time in such a long time that, you know, we had a main event where it didn't have one of them in it.
Yeah. I caught that interview. I thought it was pretty good. And the fact that he, like you said, he mentioned that was one of his career highlights, that he was the main event with John Cena still on the card, which was kind of shocking.
And I love the little reference they had for AIW, but that's just me. That was like one minute in the interview. It was great.
Right.
Is that everybody? You go Biohazard?
Yeah. Mine was the color in the Kevin Owens match.
All right. That's all of us. So that will do it for us this week on the DSJMP WrestleCast. Wayne, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter on @WayneTheBaker. You can find me on Second Shift Podcast, @SecondShiftPod. Also, Devil just wanted for me to point out that neither DSJMP or Second Shift will be taking a break while all wrestling, or if anyone wants to contribute or join and come on the show, just hook up with one of us two and we'll have you on.
Sweet. I'm actually working days those next two Tuesdays.
Cool. Oh, so they don't have to get a hold of me. Wait a minute. Is Devil Vamp actually going to be on shows?
No, this is probably it. So you'll be host for the next couple of 3 weeks.
Jesus
Christ. I'm glad that I know think more than you, obviously.
It'll probably be just next week, and then he should be back after that, but I don't know how his schedule works.
If he's not going to be on next week, I'm going to guarantee everybody this. I want to do something special for the week of Christmas. I want to do something special for the week of New Year's, and that's one thing I've been trying to ask Devil about, if he had any ideas, or, you know.
I have an idea.
No.
I was thinking
that...
Did
that,
it hurt?
That, no. Not that, the last, the New Year's week, we should do, like, make top five predictions for 2015 in wrestling.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I might nick that for second year.
Or you could, along those same lines, you could do the best of your awards on that New Year's show, too.
We already did them.
No, that was fucking stupid. Do a real one.
I told the motherfucker it was stupid.
Well, we
but he was
do,
like, no, like, we're doing it for another YouTube page. That's even when I brought up, like, what, we have a YouTube page?
Well, what we could do, like, bring the New Year's show, the five predictions, but then each of us could pick one good thing that we liked in wrestling, and one bad thing that we liked in wrestling.
Like one thing we're happy with for the year?
Yeah, one thing that sucked in the year.
Well, I think the sucked one's going to be pretty easy. Adam Rose.
That reminds me. Okay, did anybody catch the bunny walking around during pre-show?
No.
I don't know if he got on camera, but
no.
There was a guy walking around in a bunny costume, and I don't think he was WWE.
There was on Raw at Liverpool. There was literally a. It looked costume, but that was just walking around the back with, like, merchandise bits and stuff, so they must be on sale somewhere.
Oh, you can buy them. You can buy those bunny costumes on WWE.
Speaking of Adam Rose, Taylor Hendricks was a Rosebud this week.
Taylor Hendricks.
Really?
That, she's one of my favorite XTNA knockouts. And
oh, I've met her.
H-A-W-T. Hot.
Yes.
Speaking of hot chicks from TNA, Santana Garrett, refusing TNA's offer, but was either backstage at NXT or at TLC. I'm not sure which one.
I think they said NXT. It was NXT, yeah.
So, NXT, but they were kind of corporated because she lives in the area.
Yeah. She lives in the area, but you don't just get backstage for nothing.
I don't know. You had Leva Bates and Mia Yim on back-to-back NXT episodes.
Was that the women's title tournament thingy?
Well, they were both, I think they've both been on TNA, but we're talking NXT.
Right, the NXT title tournament after Paige had to give up her title.
No, this was recently. This was past month.
Yeah, I haven't watched much of the weekly, so.
What was it? Fucking Leva Bates was referenced as Blue Pants.
I was just about to ask, he's Blue Pants.
Yeah, that was Leva Bates. The real geek queen of wrestling, as I always call her. What her quote gimmick is she does cosplay, and she has dressed up as like so many different things. She does a really good Joker. She's done a really good Joker, and I want to say she also did recently all the Guardians of the Galaxy, like one way or another. Like she even did a Groot. She even did a rocket.
Okay, I gotta ask, is that your dog snoring?
Yes.
I didn't know if that was my stomach or the dog.
I had to ask.
She's laying down right beside me. But anyway, that was Leva Bates, and then the week after was Charlotte versus Mia Yim. And that was recently. So Santana Garrett being backstage. I'm going to put up with that she was just because she's local, but I would love for her to get signed. That would be a steal.
Yeah, but I don't know. Are they ever going to use her? Because isn't there like 40 of the women down at NXT?
I think there's only like 6 or 7 that have been on TV.
Yeah, on TV, but there's like 40 in the Performance Center that are training.
But that's just the whole cycle is once they get called up, they're going to bring in a new girl in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but to get called up.
Eventually they're going to start cutting some.
I was going to say they have to start cutting or you're not going to get any more call-ups.
That could be definitely a topic for another day because I know there's many of them that I think should be gone. If the rumors of AJ Lee being gone, that's something you got to keep in count too, that she leaves, hey, that's somebody else to be in that spot.
Right, yeah. that's room for Charlotte.
Yeah, and then room for, she does that, then someone has room for Charlotte in NXT. And I still think there's some girls in WWE, NXT, and the main roster that aren't going to last. They're going to be someone that just...
You're there for a couple years, and then they leave. Kind of like a lot of divas have done in the past.
But I'm not saying that just like, I'm going to go off and do modeling or something. It's just like, it's you're not going to catch... You're going to be... Kurt Hawkins. You're going to be somebody who plays like a mid-level character or lower, and then eventually you're gone. And I'm going to One that I'm going to put high on that list right now is Emma. I do not see Emma lasting.
I don't think when her contract runs out, I think they'll just let her go.
Exactly.
And she'll
there'll be a lot of people like that.
And then she'll sign with TNA and actually probably do something similar to EC3.
Yeah. See, that's the whole problem with the NXT crowd, too. It's like, that's why they bring them up, because they're getting over there, and when they come to the main roster, they kind of just fall asleep on their faces.
Well, in WWE to NXT, WWE only has, like, so many, like, really good spots. Not everybody can, and I've said this before, might have even said it last week, not everybody can be a main event player.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing even with the Divas Division. Like, not everybody can be a champion. You have to have people who are kind of jobbers.
Right.
And for EC3, for example, he was a guy that they couldn't put in that spot because they had a pretty much filling, so he had to be what he was. Well, when he got injured and was just sitting on the shelf for too long, they let him go. Perfectly fine. Because TNA, who could use a guy like that, and they could put into a better position, yeah. Emma going to WWE, I mean going to TNA, I don't know if she would be able to shine more. I mean, granted, even the knockout division is kind of meh, in my opinion.
The stuff that Emma did in NXT was actually good. They actually told the story of why she does the dance and the bubbles and everything else. They bring her up to the friggin' main roster, no bubbles, no real good vignettes, and they give her a pink fucking sock with Santino. What chance did she honestly have?
I still think the bubbles were dumb in NXT.
See, I thought it was fun. It added something to her character. It was fun.
Just like, I think Bailey's fucking dumb, too.
God, Bailey's ass is so nice, though.
I don't give a damn. That is one of the worst characters I've
ever seen. I don't care.
One of the worst characters I've ever fucking seen.
Next week.
I don't know what her character looks like, because her ass is just right there.
Her ass is her character, be honest.
Dude, if they'd made that her character, I'd be perfectly fine. Just put, draw a smiley face on her ass. That would be cool.
And Roman Reigns is a great wrestler because he's handsome.
I didn't say that. I just said her ass was really nice. Never said she was a good wrestler.
That's true. Still, I hate Bayley. When people praise about her, especially when fucking AJ Lee threw her name in that fucking promo, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
She is a good wrestler. I mean, she's not spectacular, but she's good. Her character needs work.
Is that your dog?
No, that's a train driving by.
It's the Polar Express. My father calls it the Polish Express.
Because for some reason at 1 o'clock in the morning, they have to fucking blow the horn for 45 minutes. And jackasses.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel. All right. No.
Right.
Hey, Katie, where can we find you?
At Katie First Lady.
You know, we really suck at this. You know that?
I don't know, Double Vamp would have had the show over like an hour ago. I have no fucks given. Anyway, Biohazard.
Twitter at The Biohazard King.
The Biohazard King.
King, yes.
Mob Jockey.
At The Mob Jockey, and find me using the hashtag NFL Easy Picks.
What's that about?
That's about this wonderful, wonderful sport, probably the greatest sport in the world, football. And I'm not talking with the little field fairies running around kicking a ball.
Don't give me that squid. You've got a fake version. Give me that rubbish.
No, we have the real version.
You have egg chasing. That's what you've got.
They're not chasing an egg. How many goals are in a game? Like 3, maybe, over there? Come on.
You know what? I'm going to take something from Carlos Mencia. Do you know why we as Americans do not embrace soccer as our national sport?
Because you mean you don't like enough concentration span?
No. It's not about concentration. There's no way, no way are we going to walk away from an hour-long exhibition and be happy and settle with a scoreless tie game.
Yeah.
No. Oh, wait. It's 0-0. End of the game. No, we're going to keep fucking going.
We already have a three-hour sport of absolute fly-catching, and that's called baseball. We don't need another one.
Yep. Yeah, but that's why we don't embrace soccer. Soccer as our national sport.
Football?
No, football is our national sport. Our real national sport, not baseball.
Are we saying goodbye yet?
Well, no. We gotta explain what NFL Easy Picks is.
What?
Schedule for one fall. Anyway, right, moving on.
Right.
Has that been everybody? Yep. Oh, and you can find me at HeavySet330 at NFL Easy Picks. Who's fucking with shit? Katie?
Yeah?
I hear something about Cena.
Yeah, I'm just checking highlights.
She couldn't be bothered to wait for the end of the show. She's like, fuck it, I'm finishing it now.
Well, we've only been doing this for, what, 3.5 hours now?
Something like that. At NFL Easy Picks, at Ohio Report, and a special, very special announcement on the future of Kayfabe Sports Radio is coming this Friday. Be sure to check that out. And that will do it for us, and we will check everybody next week when I'm probably fucking hosting one more time. Later.
Bye.
Up for crap bottles of Erstwhile. Steven Spielberg. Forsyth. Alfred Hitchcock! Bitch!
Picture a child sitting next to a projector, learning from your films to become a much better director. Now picture a $3 billion dream machine who can blockbust all over your crop just to see. Try to duel with me, Alfred, you must be psycho. I'll bring back Jaws and take a bite of your lipo. I'm always so on top of my game, I get the vertigo. My jet's in the terminal waiting for me to murder ya. I rock the Academy and the DGA. You rock as many Oscars as that schlep Michael Bay. Next time you're filling up those jowls with 3 steaks and souffle. Check the trade, see me ample to my next big play. I produce cartoons and make games for all ages. You produce Jimmy Stewart making one of two faces. Maybe next time I visit you'll be a bit more gracious. I'll kiss my full moon and just bask in my greatness.
That was a close encounter of the third kind. But there won't be a pretty ending this time. Half your billion should go to John Williams. Now brace yourself as I reveal my brilliance.
I'm the master of suspense, so intense, no defense against Hitchcock once he presents. My skill is enormous, orchestrate brilliant performance. You're more horrible than Megan Fox's acting in Transformers.
Come on!
Fish puppets and Muppets to stir the fears up. I squeeze screams out of chocolate syrup. I'm the best mamma jamma ever stood behind a camera. Damage panderers and haunt you like the last Indiana.
Cut. Give me a Tylenol, stop rhyming, y'all. Alfred, you got no style, dog. I'm the king of dialogue. There's only one movie I know you're from. And I've seen more blood in the shower and I stub my toe in one. Tried to fight in World War I, but couldn't do that. The British Army wouldn't let you join because you were too fat. Look it up, it's a true fact. Wikipedia that. Now allow me to attack Steven the Hack. Due to War of the Worlds of Failures when I label you, it looked like some sellout bullshit Michael Bay would do. Ask anybody,
what's your favorite Sam Jackson part?
No one's gonna say,
what's his name from Jurassic Park?
Scripts that I write ain't the clean. But when I grip mics, I'm the mean dick. Quentin Tarantino is a genius. A bad motherfucker from the wallet to the penis.
A powerful word, but there's no reason to use it unless you're talking about the Kubrick. Then there's really nothing to it. Everything I do is visionary. Every single frame of painting made exactly how I wanna make it.
Do another take and get it right 127 times. I'll make you learn to love me on the bomb. Drop ultraviolet rhymes like clockwork. Make you all hurt. Beat Spielberg, the color purple. AI is the worst. Waste of potential since the Ninja Turtles.
That's enough. I've heard enough crap from all of you. When I come down there and show you what a real star can do, I swoop low with the telephoto.
No Bruckheimer, I work solo.
If there's one thing I've learned, bitch, this game is about motherfucking money. I make that dollar, y'all, motherfucking money. Even make Mark Wahlberg make some motherfucking money.
I shop and got a few drops and I got milk money. Rose to the rock, now I got that socks made of silk money. I ain't got that guilt money, I don't give a fuck. I take my checks to